Holding while we get the mic sorted out. We're going to have the swearing in now. Go to the Attorney General. Your mic is not on. Could you turn on the microphone for the speaker?
Which one?
Okay, try that.
Good morning, Chair Neely and Commissioners. I am Deputy Attorney General Alice Reynolds, and I'm now going to swear in a new commissioner, Mary Ann Rees. Please repeat after me. I, Mary Ann Rees.
I, Mary Ann Rees.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance.
And allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
That I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We want to welcome Mary Ann to the commission. And Mary Ann, if you'd like to say a few words, we'd like to acknowledge you at this time.
Somebody turn my mic on. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to working with the rest of the commissioners. I'm very excited about being one of the commissioners. And I'm feeling really brand new this morning. And I'm really happy to be here in San Francisco. Thank you very much.
And we all look forward to working with you, Mary Ann. Thank you. Okay, next let's go to Commissioner Mercurimi, who is our host today and for this whole meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to extend a hearty welcome to all of you. Congratulations, newest Commissioner Mary Ann Rees, to San Francisco and to our Sitting County Board of Supervisors. You come at a very interesting time, not just because we are celebrating the holidays, and as you can see in this magnificent building, even the holiday decorations makes this building glow that much more, but also, as you may have heard in the news, read, we are a bit of in transition right now in this government. We are happy to contribute, I think, to the powerhouse of change in Sacramento, where our mayor is now Lieutenant Governor-elect, and our district attorney is now attorney general elect. And so before us, we are now going through the transition process as to who will continue to help lead San Francisco. So this is a very exciting time. Perhaps some of the elected family will join us tomorrow, because tomorrow in my office, we'll be hosting a reception for all of you and those who would like to join us from the public. I am told that it's a little unclear when the meeting may end, as we know that that seems to be part of the challenge with our long days, but I'm told that tomorrow is not the case. It actually could be a shorter day, and so we will sort of gauge when we may want to have that reception, but I'm gathering it'll be right after the meeting ends, and my office is just down the hallway to the right. A little housekeeping. You're in the Board of Supervisor chambers. This wood is actually extinct, so you're not allowed to etch your name in the desks or do anything that defaces city property. because we will prosecute you. And despite any reputations of us being light on crime. If you need to use the facilities, our ante room back here, both telephone, we'll get you an outside local line, and of course restrooms. If anybody needs any further privacy, let me know, and I'd be more than happy to let you use my office, which is down the hall. Feel free to, just ask, and we'll make arrangements for you. Some interesting news that comes that dovetails with our meeting here. Just yesterday, the Board of Supervisors had unanimously voted on San Francisco's bid to host the America's Cup. We think that this is, I think, relevant since it affects our Bay. I believe, like I think all of you believe, that people should have a greater relationship to our ocean, to our waters, to our Bay. This, for me, is important historically because I grew up with the Cup back in Rhode Island, and to know that we actually have the prospect of hosting it here in San Francisco is something that I have fought and worked very hard with a lot of my colleagues and the mayor to try to secure. We will know, hopefully, by week's end or by month's end what Mr. Ellison and BMW Oracle would like to see with using our Cup and allowing us to host it. Otherwise, for any other housekeeping, just let me or my aide know. Rick Galbraith is floating around somewhere, and we appreciate his assistance, and we'll do everything we can to make sure that this meeting and you are all well taken care of. So let's have a productive, constructive time. And again, welcome to San Francisco.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Our first item on the agenda this morning is the election of officers, and I'll just go over how that's going to take place. We're going to have a report from the nominating committee. That nominating committee consisted of myself, Commissioner Wan, and Commissioner Blank. Then we're going to ask for nominations from the floor, and then after we get all the nominations on board, we're going to close nominations, and then we'll act. So. As chair of the nominating committee, let me put out that the nominating committee nominates Mary Schallenberger for chair and Mark Stone for vice chair. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Commissioner Mercurimi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I very much appreciate what the nominating committee has advanced. I think in their determination. I have a different idea in mind I would like to put out there, and I would like to nominate for chair Commissioner Sara Wan.
Any other nominations from the floor for chair or vice chair? Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. I would also like to be considered for vice chair.
Pardon me?
I would also like to be considered for vice chair.
Oh, nominating. Okay. Vice chair. Actually, we'll be voting separately on each one just because there's more than the slate that's been nominated. Are there any other nominations from the floor?
Question. Are we going to take chair first, the
yes.
nominations, and
yes.
then do the nominations for vice chair?
We've got all the nominations in, I think, at this time. We have two nominations for chair, Commissioner Schallenberger and Commissioner Wan, and we have two nominations for vice chair, Commissioner Stone and Commissioner Sanchez.
Yes, I would like to nominate Ross Mercurimi for vice chair.
Madam Chair. I very much am flattered, thank you, but I'm going to decline nomination.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. Any other nominations from the Commission? Okay, then nominations are now closed, and we'll go to the issue of chair, and by a show of hands then.
Is it anything that we want to speak about? I'm sorry, point of order. Is there anything with
Not
regard?
Not really. Okay. I can defer to council. Council, is there any?
I mean, allowing us to explain or anything for
council?
That matter? Okay.
No, just ask council. She's shaking her head no, but
No.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and on the nominations for chair, Mary Schallenberger. Can we show a show of hands for Mary Schallenberger for chair, please? Can't see how.
Five. The vote is five.
And then Sarah Wan. Five.
Six.
Six.
Oh, I see. And does it require seven votes for chair? It does require seven. Would you raise your hands again, please, for Sarah Wan? Three over here. Four, five, six, seven. Okay.
Seven.
All right, so the new chair of the commission is Sarah Wan. On the issue of vice chair, we have two candidates. We have Commissioner Stone. And can we get a show of hands for Commissioner Stone for vice chair? How many is that? Six. And then for Commissioner Sanchez for vice chair, we have a tie. Six, six.
Six.
So we have 6-6. So where's the, we're going into overtime. So we have no selection here for vice chair. So I guess we'll reopen nominations for vice chair, or what's council? Maybe you could advise us.
Under Robert's Rules of Order, voting nominations may be reopened, and then voting would continue until a candidate receives a majority.
And, Madam Chair, point of order.
Commissioner Mercurini.
The reason I was asking this earlier is, why don't we hear from the potential contenders, if that is a possibility?
Okay. Is that all right, counsel? All right. Well, let's first then go to Commissioner Stone. And maybe you could address Commissioner Mercurimi's question of why you want to serve in the capacity of vice chair of this commission. Commissioner Stone?
Thank you. And commissioners, it was my pleasure to be considered and to be nominated. Very flattered. The issue of the coast is very, very important to me, and I think the leadership is also important as we move forward through some potential transitions over the next few years. And it is an issue that that I find very important. I would be honored to receive your votes for vice chair. I know there's no guarantee of ultimately being chair, although I'm willing to serve as vice chair, and if appropriately nominated, eventually would be also willing to serve as chair. And I think that's an important distinction to make sure that we do have some continuity of leadership. I appreciate what Bonnie Neely has done and Mary Schallenberger as vice chair have done for this commission. And the way that meetings are conducted are very similar to how I conduct meetings at our Board of Supervisors chambers, that it's important to me to involve the public as much as possible to make sure that we are hearing all sides of every issue, that we conduct the meetings with a great deal of respect for the process, and hear from all commissioners and hear from the public as much as possible. It would be my goal to make sure that I would continue in that vein, should I have the opportunity to run meetings in the future. So again, thank you for your consideration, and I would appreciate your support.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you very much. I would be honored to serve as vice chair to represent this commission, very critical commission at this time, especially. I have worked very hard this past year to be prepared every single time I come to a meeting, to also be here at every single meeting. And I know that next year will be a year of change. I do plan on doing as much as I can to represent the commission, attend, go to Sacramento if I have to meet with our representatives to lobby for the additional resources. In terms of the commission, I have had a chance to do some outreach to other commissioners. I feel we do need to have a balance. We do need to ensure that we hear a balanced presentation, a balance in terms of what the issues are and how they're presented. These are critical issues for whatever it is, two sides, three sides, whatever it is. And I feel that this past, my legal background and being a council member and working with everyone here on the commission gives me that ability to work well. And I certainly do have worked really well with Commissioner Sarah Wan, and it would be just an honor to work with her. Thank you.
All right. Are there comments from any other commissioners at this time? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go back to the nominations and see if anything changes. With regard to the nominations for nomination for Commissioner Stone for vice chair, could we see a show of hands? Five? Six? Seven? We have seven here? Count, please. Six, okay. And then I guess we're back to 6-6. So, Council, do we open it up for additional nominations? So nominations for vice chair are now open again, and see if the commission has any other nominations that they'd like the commission members to consider for vice chair. Commissioner Schallenberger.
This is a little awkward because he's not here, but I would nominate, in an effort to break this tie here, Commissioner Blank. I recognize that he is not here, and so it's good because he can't withdraw his name. The other thing is, I also recognize that he's a governor's appointment, and we have no idea what will happen with the governor's appointments. However, if he were to stay on, I think he would be a fine vice chair. If he were to be replaced by the new governor, as is the new governor's authority, I assume this would then come before the commission again for another vote. All right.
Okay. Commissioner Bloom is first, and then Commissioner Burke and Commissioner Cram.
I'd like to nominate Mary Schallenberger.
We have Commissioner Blank and Commissioner Schallenberger. Commissioner Burke? Okay. And Commissioner Cram?
Because it's not really clear. I mean, I don't know whether Commissioner Blank could win or not. I'm just a little concerned with doing that without his permission. I mean, he'd have to. We're sort of voting on somebody we don't even know will accept. I'm not sure that's appropriate.
It is. It's more than
and
appropriate.
And whose term is up?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether we need council's advice, whether we can do it without their permission.
Yeah, I think we're fine on that one. So we have Commissioner Blank, Commissioner Schallenberger, and Commissioner Sanchez. And so with regard to, are there any other nominations for vice chair? I see none. The nominations are closed. Can we get a show of hands of Commissioner Blank for vice chair?
Four.
Okay. Commissioner Schallenberger?
Three.
And Commissioner Sanchez?
Six.
Okay, so we're... Okay, well, I think maybe we've taken up enough time on this. Can we table the selection of vice chair until next month and go ahead and take a break at this time, and then we'll get the new chair seated and move on with today's agenda.
Point of yes, and Madam Chair, if I may, if the commission fails to elect a vice chair, the current vice chair would continue to serve until replaced, is my understanding.
All right, fine. We can schedule this election then for next month. Commissioner Burke? A majority is seven. Okay, then with the commission's concurrence, we'll take a break now to seat the new chair, and we'll get started with the meeting.
Okay, I guess I'll proceed. First of all, I'd like to thank the commission for showing this amount of confidence in me. Our former chair served us for 2 years with great distinction and for many years before that. And I would like to read a resolution in honor of Commissioner Bonnie Neely. Whereas Bonnie Neely has represented the North Coast region of California's beautiful and precious coast for 11 years and as an appointee of two governors, where she has served as the commission's chair since December 2008 and brought to that post an easy grace, measured tact, patience, humility, humor, understanding, empathy, and a heavy dose of common sense that sets a high, commendable standard of excellence. And whereas Bonnie Neely, in her capacity as chair, unfailingly treated applicants, members of the public, public agency representatives, and others appearing before the commission with respect, courtesy, and an even hand, and whereas her dedication to public service, integrity, professionalism, independence, and courage to stand strong for her ideals and principles is an inspiration to all who chose or who choose representative public service and sets a standard for them to follow. And whereas Bonnie Neely's propensity and ability to promote collegiality, harmony, meeting decorum, and efficient, timely advancement of meeting agendas was appreciated and admired by all having business before the commission. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the California Coastal Commission expresses its respect, admiration, gratitude, and best wishes to Bonnie Neely in all of her future endeavors. And I ask that this to be adopted this day, the 15th day of December 2010. Is that it? Okay. Well, I just want to thank the commission. I really appreciate those kind comments. It was really an honor to be selected chair, and it's been an honor to serve, and I wish you all the best in the next year. With that, we'll, yes, Commissioner Cran.
Yeah. I believe that that we should continue to vote. I know the sort of the move, the motion to extinguish it until the next meeting, I'd like to move that we continue to vote, and I hope I get a second.
Okay, I'm going to go to our our attorneys and see what they say in regards to this, and then I see that Commissioner Mercurini also wants to. You want to say something?
No, but I'm more than happy to weigh in.
To find out what they have to say since the motion was tabled.
Table.
Yes, that's what we're reading about that. But yes, it does look like it can be brought up, brought back.
It can be brought back. Well, then we would require, I assume, a vote to bring that back. Is that what's required, or how is it done?
I don't think there was a vote to close elections.
I see.
I mean, on point of process?
Okay.
First, just on process and housekeeping, because it seems like people are still kind of working the buttons. Just on and off. All right. This is going to be a meeting of metaphors, I know. So just on the on and off, when you want to speak, just, you know, do that on your console right here. And then if you want to request to speak, although it will be by number, they'll have to figure it out, just hit request to speak or raise your hands. And if you don't want your conversation to be captured after you're finished speaking, just hit the off button. It's pretty straightforward. And then with regard to process on the continuation of vote, that's my interpretation, too, on the rules, that we did not vote to close it. So I don't see particularly a reason to shuttle it to next month, and that if any one time during the next 3 days, unless we have a vote to close it, this should be entertained if we want to entertain it. And I would encourage those whose names have been nominated, maybe do a little bit of discussing themselves, if they can, within the limits of our process and law, to figure something else out. But I would leave this open, potentially.
Okay, and we have a motion to call for the vote. I'm asking our legal staff, okay?
I believe you can just reopen it because it was incomplete, and in addition, there were two more
right.
positions that the Santa Monica Mountains chair, representative, and the other position have also not been voted on. So. I think that you took a break from the election, but I think you can go back to it when you choose to.
Commissioner Schallenberger? Okay, so what's the sense of the commission? Do we have a motion and a second to reopen? And I don't need that? Okay, all right, then let's just reopen it. Do we have new nominations, or we have the same nominations? Commissioner Cram? Commissioner Bloom.
I nominate Mark Stone.
Mark Stone. Any others?
The nominations from the first are still on the floor unless anyone has removed themselves or anybody new is added.
Okay, so then we have Sanchez, Stone, Blank, and Schallenberger. Is that it?
Yes, and they should be voted on in the order in which they're nominated.
Okay, so who? All right, so all those in favor of Commissioner Stone.
But that wasn't the order they nominated. Oh, by the committee. Oh.
That's three.
Four.
Four? I can't see. Next was Commissioner Sanchez.
Six. Oh, seven.
And then Commissioner Blank. Oh, okay.
When there's a majority.
I've got to learn this. I've never been through this before.
Yes, upon one candidate receiving a majority, the election concludes.
Okay, so then congratulations, Commissioner Sanchez. You are vice chair. And I've had a request for another break so that we can move chairs again.
Two other positions to vote on yet.
I think the way that this is, we can talk some time.
Okay. I think we're missing a couple of commissioners. Commissioner Bloom and Commissioner... Oh, no, Bloom is a commissioner. Under the table. Is Mary Ann around? Maybe we'll be okay. Let's do. We have two more nominations. One is for the Santa Monica Mountain. No, the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission. And do I hear a nomination, or do we have a volunteer to serve on that board? Commissioner Bloom, don't you want to? You want to continue to serve on the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission? Oh. No, that's, I was serving on that.
Right. Thank you.
Do we need to call into question the chair again?
Yes.
If you're not going to continue to serve.
Microphone?
Okay. On the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy? I'd like to continue on that, but I'd certainly like to have someone else take over the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission. Anybody want that one? How about we table that one?
Is that feeling okay? Kind of lonely over here.
And, but I would like to continue with the Conservancy, if that's okay. Do we need a vote on that? On the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy?
Please hit your on button, Commissioner Burke, right on your console.
I move that Commissioner Juan be appointed to the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy. Got it?
Second.
Unanimous.
Do I need a vote to table the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission?
I don't think so. You can
okay.
Just do it.
So we'll table that one until we find someone who wants to serve.
Meanwhile,
besides Commissioner Bloom, who is the chair of that commission.
Meanwhile, you're going to continue?
Yes, I'll continue.
Okay.
Until that. Okay, let's move to public comment. First speaker is Catherine Caulfield. You'll have 3 minutes.
You will.
Yes, now.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Catherine Caulfield. I represent the Environmental Action Committee of West Marin. I've been working on bringing Lawson's Landing into compliance with the Coastal Act since 1998. This is the largest RV campground on the coast of California, and it occupies a singular coastal ecosystem, Tamales Dunes. Tamales Dunes has its own intrinsic beauty, and it supports a unique community of plants and animals. It's also the largest unprotected dune system in Central California, but it is more than sand dunes. It is a complex of many sensitive habitats, including the richest collection of seasonal dune wetlands and the last mobile dune complex in Central California. And it has suffered decades of overuse and abuse. As you know, the hearing on Lawson's Landing has once again been postponed. This is hardly the first delay in the 19 years that this permit application has been wending its way through the system, and the 6 years since it first came before the commission, but I hope it will be the last. I have come today to make two requests. First, it is imperative that this matter be rescheduled for a hearing as soon as possible. This is not your typical permit application. It concerns an existing, unpermitted, very large-scale operation, and given the complexity of the issue, it is likely that a second hearing will be required. If this is not heard at your March meeting in Santa Cruz, Lawson's Lanny will go through yet another peak season without permits, causing extensive and serious damage to important coastal resources by, among other things, the drainage of wetlands, the irrigation to private use of prime camping sites that should be available to the public, and the continued use of unpermitted cesspools. I ask you to direct staff to bring this matter back to you at your March meeting. Secondly, the public needs adequate time to review the staff report. This is very echoey, sorry. To review the staff report, and the commission should have a chance to consider public comments before the day of the hearing. That is not possible when the staff report is issued less than 2 weeks before the hearing date, as was to have happened at this meeting. Now that the staff report is more or less complete, I ask you to direct staff to make it available at least 3 weeks before the hearing so that the public has adequate time to read it, analyze it, and comment on it. The staff has time to get our comments to you, and you have time to consider them. Thank you very much.
Next speaker is Bill McLaughlin.
Hi, I represent the San Francisco chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. Tomorrow we're going to have some folks come down and comment on what's happening down at our beach at Slope Boulevard. We have a situation of coastal armoring by our DPW. It's ruining the beach, and that's basically, I just want to kind of give the heads up that we'll be here tomorrow and to comment further. Thank you.
Staff, you want to, that concludes public comments. So staff, if you would like to go over the changes in the agenda.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And first up for the audience, if you wish to speak on an item on today's agenda, please fill out a speaker slip and give it to commission staff. Those slips are located on the table just outside the meeting room. And please turn off any cell phones or other wireless devices all the way to the off button when in this chamber. These devices interfere with our webcast. And also, again, I'd like to remind everyone that there is no eating and drinking in this chamber. And please do not leave any trash or papers behind. Next up, I'll go over the changes for today's agenda, starting on page 3 of the agenda. Item 6A, the Washington Holdings administrative permit is postponed. There are no changes on page 4, so moving on to page 5. Item 12A, the Finn application, moved to consent. Item 12B, the City of Santa Barbara application, moved to consent. And item 12C, Miller and Knight, moved to consent. Moving on page 6, we had a typo there on your agenda change sheet. This is item 16A. The Los Cerritos Wetlands Authority moved to consent. On page 7, item 19A, the Laguna Asset Ventures appeal has been withdrawn. Item 20A, the Williams application postponed. Item 20B, the City of Newport Beach application is postponed. Page 8, there are no changes. So moving on to page 9, item 24A, the Sandag Bikeway application, moved to consent. Item 25A, the All Creatures Hospital amendment, is postponed. And on page 10, the budget update will be trailed to either Thursday or Friday. And finally, on your addendum to your agenda, item 15B, the Leader Camel Cheech LLC appeal, is postponed. So that concludes the changes on today's agenda.
Thank you. That brings us to the consent calendar.
Madam Chair, before you go to the consent calendar, I understand that there was a member of the public who wished to address the commission, and we failed to get you the speaker slip in time.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to do that at lunchtime, but I can. Since you had the speaker slip, I can do that now.
Right.
Darlene Nicandro, you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you, commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to submit the public comment. I'm Darlene Nicandro, manager of the Port of San Diego's Land Use Planning Department. And the last time we were before you was in April on the North Embarcadero Visionary Plan Phase 1 Coastal Development Permit. I'm very happy to report that since then, and following your direction, we've held 10 public meetings on the project and have worked with your staff to address concerns and issues raised at the April meeting. We would simply like to thank and extend our thanks to San Diego staff, namely Sherilyn Sarb, Deborah Lee, and Diana Lilly, and we look forward to enhancing San Diego's waterfront together. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other public comment speaker slip that I missed? Okay, with that, we'll go to the consent calendar.
Yes, item number 5 are the consent calendar permits for the Los Angeles County portion of the South Coast District, and staff is not aware of any opposition to the 2 permit applications on the consent calendar and recommends a commission vote and approve the consent calendar.
Is there a motion? Moved by Commissioner Bloom, a second? Second by Vice Chair Sanchez. Any objection to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
And moving to item 7, this is the consent calendar for the San Diego District. There is an addendum on this item. It's a minor correction to the staff report for item 7A, which is an exhibit at the Stephen Birch Aquarium addressing alternative energy. It does use wind turbines, so the condition has been limited to a 5-year permit and requires monitoring for potential adverse effects on avian species and bats. The conditions are acceptable to the applicant, and we have not received any comments on this item. Therefore, staff recommends you approve the consent calendar.
A motion for Commissioner Neely. You have a second? I need a second. Commissioner Sanchez, any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
That brings us to item number 8, and this is the Deputy Director's report for the South Central Coast District, which is a listing of the waivers, immaterial amendments, and immaterial extensions for the district. I did want to note the staff did receive an objection to an extension of a coastal development permit 4-99-098 for the construction of a 8,300 square foot 3-unit apartment building located on Coastline Drive. In Malibu, in the L.A. County portion of Malibu. The site is just inland of Pacific Coast Highway in a very densely developed area, and the person objecting to the extension is concerned about the size and scale of the structure and private parking and access issues in the area. Now, these issues were addressed by the commission in the hearing on this permit and 2 subsequent amendments. The objector does not cite any specific change circumstances that would affect the project's consistency with the Coastal Act, and therefore staff is recommending the commission concur that this extension qualifies as an immaterial amendment, and staff is not aware of any opposition to the other items on the district director's report and recommends the commission concur with the ED's determination on these matters.
Any objection to finding concurrence? Seeing none, the commission has concurred.
That moves us to item number 9, and these are the regular calendar permit application. Staff is recommending move to the consent calendar, and we are recommending 3 regular calendar items to move to the consent calendar, and those are items 12A, the Finn application, 12B, the City of Santa Barbara application, and 12C, the Miller and Knight application. And staff is not aware of any opposition to these items and recommend the commission vote and approve these items.
Can I get a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Commissioner Mercurimi and seconded by Commissioner Brewer. Any comments? Any objections to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the commission has approved the consent calendar.
That moves us to item 10A, and I have a PowerPoint on that item, if you just pull that real quickly. In item 10A, the University of California at Santa Barbara is requesting approval of a notice impending development for construction of a three-story, 63-foot-high, 63,123-square-foot addition to the existing Davidson Library that's located on the main campus in Santa Barbara. And this slide shows the location of the proposed development. Now, this project is consistent with the requirements and standards of the certified UCSB long-range development plan. Therefore, staff is recommending approval subject to six special conditions. The university is in agreement with the staff recommendation. There's no opposition that we know of. And the motion for approval of the notice can be found on page 4 of the staff report. And that concludes my presentation on this item.
Is there any ex parte communications to report? Seeing none, I have no speaker slips on this, so can I get a motion? Commissioner Reese.
Okay, I move that the commission determine that the development described in the Notice of Impending Development 4-10, Davidson Library Addition Building Project as condition, is consistent with the Certified University of California at Santa Barbara Long Range Development Plan. Staff recommends a yes vote.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Bloom. Any objection to the unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the NOID is approved.
The next item up is item 11A, and this is a substantial issue hearing on appeal of a County of Santa Barbara Coastal Development Permit, and I have a brief PowerPoint on this one as well. The applicant in this case is NextG Networks of California, and the appellant in this case is Joanne Shefflin. So that's item 11A, if we could pull that up. Anyhow, I'll charge ahead. The proposed project is the installation of just a 26-inch antenna mounted on a 32 feet on an existing 70-foot-high metal utility pole and the construction of an underground equipment vault in the utility easement. And the project is located on San Leandro Lane in the Montecito area of the city of Santa Barbara County, as you can see on this slide. The appeal asserts that the project is inconsistent with the County of Santa Barbara's local coastal program because it will violate policies and implementation measures related to visual resources and telecommunications facilities. And the appellant also raised improper noticing under Santa Barbara County's coastal zoning ordinance provisions. And lastly, the appellant raised concerns with the Santa Barbara County's determination that this telecommunication facility is exempt from CEQA. The appellant contends the project will both individually and cumulatively result in adverse visual impacts as seen from Leandro Road. And she asserts that this 26-inch antenna would add additional clutter to the pole, which would not be consistent with the highly scenic character and surroundings of the area. And you can see what the surroundings are on the slide that's up. In our view, the addition of a 26-inch antenna to the existing power pole would not result in any significant adverse impacts to scenic views in this area. The existing 70-foot-high power poles along the road here have a number of cross members and other equipment, such as transformers, and the addition of the small 26-inch high antenna would go unnoticed by most persons traveling along the road. And that's just a little cross-section of it, and that shows the antenna in relation to the size and scale of that pole. The county required that all exposed equipment on this antenna be colored, a non-reflective material that's painted brown to blend in. And the county also required that all of the equipment associated with this be confined to an underground vault, which is required pursuant to the LCP. Now, the appellant suggests that the antenna should be buried as well, but that wouldn't be possible from a technical standpoint. It wouldn't work. With regard to public notice, we investigated that. The county noticed the permit consistent with all the provisions in the LCP, And finally, regarding noncompliance with CEQA in this case, the California Public Utilities Commission is the appropriate agency for CEQA compliance on this project, and the Utilities Commission did file a notice of exemption for this project on July 20th, 2009. And furthermore, the grounds for appeal are limited to the allegation that the development does not comply with the LCP or public access policies of the Coastal Act, not compliance with CEQA. Therefore, in staff's opinion, the proposed project is very minor in nature and is fully consistent with the development policies. And we recommend the commission find that no substantial issue exists in this case with respect on which the grounds or the appeal has been filed. And now the motion for no substantial issue can be found on page 4 of the staff report.
Is there any ex parte communication? I'll call Sharon James. I don't have a speaker slip from the appellant. Okay. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Sharon James. I'm Director of Government Affairs with NextG Networks. We're a what's called a carrier's carrier. We build fiber networks throughout the country that support wireless telephone carriers. And we're building a network, or we have built a network in Santa Barbara. This is actually the last site that we have pending for approval. It's been through a lot through the through Montecito Planning Commission and the County of Santa Barbara, and you know, here we are at the Planning Commission. I just have a couple of pictures I wanted to share with you that just paints a little bit better picture of what we're talking about. If you could go to, why don't you go to picture number 2? We've already kind of seen a visual.
Can we get the audio turned up, or recording, Secretary?
Up. Okay.
All right, continue.
All right, this visual represents what we call an alternative analysis we did of the neighborhood. All of these marks, there's a legend over to the far left. We reviewed 19 different poles before we decided on the pole that was approved by the county and the Montecito Planning Commission. Some of these poles will not work from a technological point of view. Some were recommended by the county not to pursue. Some of the poles, Southern California Edison will not let you attach to for various reasons. And over to the very far right, there's a little flag that has a school, and we try to stay as far away from schools as we can because they become very sensitive when you get into the approval process. So the pole we chose... And if we could flip to the next picture, is, as was mentioned before, a 70-foot pole. It is across the street and down the road from the appellant's home. And the little antenna will go right above that first cross arm. So it's 32 feet in the air. And if we can flip to the next picture. That's just a close-up of the pole at the ground. You can see that it's just really bare ground with some landscaping rocks there in the background. That is in the public right-of-way. And then the final picture, that shows you the photo simulation of the vaulted equipment. We normally put our equipment on the poles. It's relatively small compared to PG&E or a power company transformer, but in this case, because we were requested to do so, we put the equipment in the ground. It has 2 air vents on each side. As a condition of the county approval, we can add landscaping plants around that vault if we need to, but that's basically how it looks, and I hope that helps paint a little better picture for you. Thank you for your time.
With that, any other comments by staff? I'll go to the commissioner. What is your pleasure? I get a motion. Commissioner Reese.
Okay. I move that the commission determine that appeal number A-4-STB-10-094 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed. under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act. Staff recommends a yes vote with a finding of no substantial issue.
Do I get a second? Do I hear a second? Second, Commissioner Burke. Any objection to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the commission has found no substantial issue. That brings us to, I think, 13A, is that correct?
Yeah, with 13, this is the Deputy Director's report for the South Coast District for both Orange and LA counties. And again, this is listing the waivers and immaterial amendments, extensions, and emergency permits. And Sherilyn is will report on an emergency permit we have for the...
Yes, thank you, Jack. This is a revision to an emergency permit that I reported last month for installation of a shotcrete retaining wall on the seaward side of a Blufftop residence in San Clemente. The revision relates to the number of soil nails that's required. This has been reviewed by our coastal engineer, and the proposed wall and a slope stability analysis with recommendations for any necessary additional measures will be addressed through a follow-up coastal development permit, as well as the visual treatment for the proposed and the existing bluff stabilization measures. And that concludes my comments on the emergency permit, and I think our comments on the South Coast District Deputy Director's report. We recommend that you the commission concur and approve the Deputy Director's report.
Any objection to finding concurrence? Seeing none, the commission has concurred.
The next item up is item 13A, and this is a certification review of the City of Redondo Beach LCP Amendment 2-08, and the amendment changed both the land use and implementation plans of the city's certified LCP, and the amendment included the remaining uncertified segment of the city known as Area 2 and included new land use plan and implementation policies and development standards for this area. And Area 2 consisted of the harbor and pier area and a power generating plant located west of Catalina Avenue in Redondo Beach. The city has formally agreed to accept the commission's suggested modifications to the LCP amendment, and staff recommends the commission concur with the executive director's determination that their actions are legally adequate and this amendment can be effectively certified. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Any ex parte communications? Seeing none, I have one speaker slip, but they're here for questions only. Any commission discussion? Any objection to concurrence? Seeing none, the commission has concurred.
That moves us to item 14, and these are the regular calendar permit items. Staff is recommending we move to the consent calendar for the Los Angeles County portion of the South Coast District, and staff is recommending one regular calendar item be moved to the consent calendar, and that item is 16A, the Los Cerritos Wetlands Authority permit application. And your addendum packet does have a number of letters supporting the project and the staff recommendation, and staff recommends the commission vote and approve. Second. This item.
I don't have any speaker slips on this. This is consent. These are the items moved from consent. Is there any ex parte communications on this? Seeing none, can I get a motion for consent?
Motion to consent.
Moved by Commissioner Mercurimi. Do I have a second? Second by Commissioner Bloom. Any objection to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
The next item up is item 15A, and I have another brief PowerPoint on this item. You pull that up, 15A, the Beschke application. And item 15A is a substantial issue hearing on appeal of a City of Manhattan Beach coastal development permit. The applicant is Caroline Beschke, and the appellant is William Victor. The project is a demolition of a duplex and construction of a three-story, 30-foot-high, almost 4,000-square-foot single-family residence with three-car garage and a 2,700-square-foot lot fronting a walk street in the city of Manhattan Beach. And the property slopes down towards the beach, and there's the location on this slide. And this is a close-up of the site itself. The appellant in this case asserts that the city erred in calculating the height limit for the proposed residence because of inaccuracies in the survey for the project site. The appellant claims the elevation of the project site has changed since demolition occurred on an adjacent lot to the east, and he maintains that the city's method for measuring the height of the residence will result in a house that is out of scale with the surrounding development. And as you can see here on this slide, the proposed residence is in a very densely developed area on Manhattan Beach on 8th Street. And with regard to the issue of inaccuracy of the survey of the site, the city affirmed the applicant's survey was conducted consistent with the city requirements for determining the elevation from which the 30-foot height limit is measured. And city staff also refuted the applicant's allegations about the survey by pointing out that the survey was conducted in May of 2010 prior to the demolition that occurred on the adjacent lot, and that any subsequent settling or change of topography would be very minimal and inconsequential to the maintenance of the character of the area or the building height. And the applicant has not submitted any evidence to support his claim that the survey is not correct, and we believe the project is compliant with the maximum height limit and maximum floor area required by the LCP. And we do believe it's compatible with the surrounding area. And we believe the city's decision regarding this permit application was correct, and therefore staff is recommending the commission find no substantial issue exists in this case with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed. And the motion for no substantial issue can be found on page 4 of the staff report. And this concludes my presentation on this item.
Are there any ex parte communications to report? Seeing none, I don't have a speaker. We have a no. Okay. Seeing none, pleasure of the commission. We get a motion. Move, Commissioner Bloom.
I move that the commission determine that appeal number A5MNB10272 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act.
Second.
Can you recommend a yes vote?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. Moved by Commissioner Bloom, seconded by Commissioner Mercurimi. Any discussion? Any objection to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the commission has found no substantial issue.
That brings us to item 16B, and I have a PowerPoint for this item as well, if you can pull that up.
We have a number of speakers on this, so we might want to take a 5-minute break before we go into this item. This is our major item for the day.
Let's call you again for what time? Street. Oh, right, down the grand stairs.
Yeah, where I can meet.
Commissioners, can somebody go into the back and pull commissioners out so we can get started?
I can do that.
Okay, good. I think we still have a quorum. So we can get started.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next item up is item 16B, and the applicant in this case is NF Marina Limited Partnership and the Los Angeles County Department of Beaches and Harbors. The project site is identified as Parcel T in Marina Del Rey and is located on Tahiti Way in the southwest section of the harbor, as can be seen on this slide. And it is adjacent to an existing apartment complex, and the marina shares a parking lot with this complex. The parcel is 1,500 feet in length and paralleling the the marina is 1,500 feet in length, paralleling the interior bulkhead channel. The existing marina includes boat slips ranged in 11 docks and 11 gangways with end ties at the end of each dock, and includes a total of 230 slips. Now, the Applicants are requesting a permit for the demolition of the 230-slip marina and construct a new 207-slip marina, including new piles, ramps, and dock floats. And the applicant is also proposing a new in-slip sewage pump-out for each slip and utility hookups. And this slide, which is very difficult to see, is the proposed configuration. Now, the new anchorage will provide 11 docks and 10 gangways, with one ADA-accessible gangway leading to three docks with a total of five designated ADA-compliant boat slips. There are six additional slips adjacent to these designated ADA slips that could also provide for ADA accessibility because they abut these ADA-compliant finger piers. And on your slide here, you can see the ADA slips are highlighted in the yellow below. The remaining slips are also accessible for disabled persons because they can access the slips via the ADA-compliant gangway. However, these slips technically do not meet the ADA standards relative to the size of the finger piers. Now, the total number of ADA slips that are required for a marina of this size is five slips. The proposed marina meets the minimum requirement and provides for some additional ADA accessible slips. Now, unfortunately, the applicant did not provide this more detailed explanation of the ADA slip distribution in the permit application, and therefore the staff report simply stated that there were 42 ADA accessible docks in these our slips in these three docks, which was not completely accurate and caused some confusion. And I believe the applicant will provide some additional details in their presentation regarding this ADA configuration of the proposed slips. Now, this slide shows the existing and proposed slip distribution, and the proposed marina design will result in the loss of 23 slips. And that is really extremely small. Anyhow, the existing marina has 175 slips, or 76%, that are 35 feet and less, and has no slips below 25 feet. The proposed design includes 132 slips, 26 to 35 feet in length, and 13 new slips between 18 and 25 feet, or 69% of the slips will be under 35 feet. Although the total number of slips under 35 feet and under are decreasing by 31 slips, the applicant is adding these 13 slips under 25 feet, which the existing design did not have, which is, in our view, a benefit in this case. Now, the overall average slip length will decrease only from 34.7 feet to 34.73. The overall percentage of slips under 35 feet in Marina Del Rey is 70%, and the percentage of slips under 35 feet for the proposed project is 69.5%. Now, in the recent periodic review recommendations for Marina Del Rey, the Commission expressed concerns with the potential future loss of small slips in Marina Del Rey. The Commission clearly recommended a no net loss of total slips in the marina and a no net loss of slips under 35 feet. However, given the ADA requirements in Department of Boating Waterways Marina Design Guidelines, it is extremely difficult to construct a new marina pursuant to these standards and guidelines without some loss in boat slips. The no net loss policy would result in marinas with a huge disproportionate number of small slips. Now, the applicant maintains the new design. Going back to this slide, the applicant maintains the new design loses four slips due to ADA requirements and a loss of 19 slips due to D-bar requirements. And this is assuming you're just doing a straight replacement of the existing slips. As you can see on this slide, on the top part of the slide, the top shows the D-bar losses and the lower figures show the ADA losses, which are highlighted. In staff's view, we believe the applicant has attempted to minimize the overall loss of slips in this case. The ADA accessible slips are accommodated on three docks, again located on the west side and clustered on the west side of the marina, and will provide disabled persons access to a large range of small slips and not just a few, not just five. In staff's opinion, erring on the side of a more disabled access to a larger range of bow slips is a very positive aspect of this design. Furthermore, reconfiguring the ADA compliant docks just to say one ADA slip or five slips would not result in any additional slip losses because of the geometry of the gangway and other factors, which the applicant, I think, will go into more detail. Now, the opponents of the project are arguing that a decision on this marina redevelopment permit should be held off in the commission, until the commission holds their marina workshop. In addition, the county is also contemplating a harbor-wide master coastal development permit for future redevelopment, marina redevelopment in Marina Del Rey. And this master permit will address marina redevelopment and address slip size distribution issue in a very comprehensive manner. And opponents of the project argue that the marina redevelopment, this marina redevelopment project, should be folded into that comprehensive master CDP. Now, I would note that this permit application was filed in April of last year, and we are now at the end of the Permit Streamlining Act timeframe of 270 days for this application. And therefore, the commission should act on this application at this meeting. In addition, the marina redevelopment is financially linked to the renovation of the existing 205-unit apartment complex on the land side here, and this renovation project did qualify for an exemption from permit requirements because the development was limited just to remodel of the existing structure. Now, due to lease agreements with the county and long-term financing issues, the applicant must secure permitting entitlements before June of next year, or they could possibly jeopardize their financing, which I'm sure the applicant will explain. Now, staff was hoping to hold the commission workshop on marina redevelopment before we heard this application in November, but unfortunately, due to workload and staffing issues, this workshop had to be postponed. And we are hoping to schedule the workshop for the near future, possibly February or April of next year. We do not believe it is appropriate to hold off on processing permit applications for individual redevelopment projects until the commission workshop is held. And in addition, we are required to bring these applications to a hearing within with very specific statutory deadlines. Finally, the purpose of the commission workshop was to identify and consider issues related to redevelopment of these aging recreational harbors and marinas in California. This workshop is designed to present a summary of the Coastal Act issues and past commission actions related to marina redevelopment and frame out those issues related to marina redevelopment and have representatives from the Department of Boating and Waterways, marina operators, recreational boating associations, non-motorized boating groups, and the public discuss their concerns. However, this workshop is intended for informational purposes only, and the commission would not be adopting any guidance on marina redevelopment or taking any other action. And we don't believe that there will be some magic answer or bullet coming out of that workshop that will resolve all these issues surrounding marina redevelopments. This information, we hope in the future, will present the commission with, will assist the commission in their future decisions on permit applications. And each marina redevelopment, in our view, should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis and judged on the individual facts of each case and the setting of each marina in these different harbor areas. In staff's view, the marina before you today is close to almost a straight replacement of the existing marina. It has a large proportion of smaller slips, and reduction of the slips is due primarily to compliance with DBAW requirements and ADA requirements. In addition, we don't believe the project would prejudice the commission's decision on a future master permit for marinas in Marina Del Rey Harbor. And in my view, it won't break the bank one way or another with regard to future slip distribution or total slip numbers in the context of some future master permit for Marina Del Rey. Now, opponents to the project have also asserted that the reduction of boat slips will reduce the number of upland parking spaces to support the marina, and this would free up future landside development areas, for future landside development. First of all, in this case, the marina, the parking for this marina is shared with that 207-unit apartment complex in a 484-space parking lot. 169 of the spaces are dedicated for the marina slip lessees and their guests, and 315 spaces for the existing apartment. As part of the renovation to the landside development, the applicant is adding three new parking spaces to that lot. The county code requirement of the LCP for boat slips is 0.75 spaces per slip, which can be reduced to 0.675 if the parcel is developed with residential units. In this case, the county is requiring the 0.75 space standard, which would require, which does result in 156 total spaces. The applicant, however, is providing 172 spaces, which is 16 spaces over the requirement. So we have an excess of parking here. The applicant is, staff is recommending that a condition is required here that to maintain at least that 0.675 or greater parking spaces to boat slips in this case, and that any change to the number of boater parking spaces will require an amendment to the permit. In addition, as I noted before, this complex will be undergoing an extensive remodel and renovation under a 30-year lease and remain a very low-density development for the really long term. Any future redevelopment of this site would have to comply with all the provisions of the LCP and would require a CDP from the county, which is also appealable to the commission. Any future use of a surplus parking area for development would have to be addressed through a coastal development permit, which again, the commission could appeal and review. Now, some members of the public have also suggested that some upland recreational uses should be required in this case, and staff does not believe there is a basis or nexus to require any public recreational uses on the upland property where the apartment complex is located. And there is an existing public promenade along the waterfront that provides access in this area. In your addendum packet, there's a letter from the applicant clarifying some issues and addressing issues raised by some of the opponents in this case. And we also received a large number of letters yesterday, which you should also have in your as a separate addendum packet, opposing the staff recommendation for various reasons, and some of which I went over in my presentation here. In conclusion, staff does believe this project is consistent with the Chapter 3 policies of the Coastal Act, which is the standard of review in this case because it's in our original jurisdiction. And we are recommending approval of the permit subject to the 13 special conditions outlined in your staff report. And the motion for approval can be found on page 2 of the staff report. And this concludes staff's presentation on this item.
Going to go to the commissioners for ex parte, any ex parte communications to report, starting on my left, Commissioner Burke.
All my ex partes are on file, thank you.
Commissioner Neely.
My ex partes are on file.
Commissioner Stone.
Thank you, I have an ex parte on file, and I also met with Grant Wiesman of Orca on 12-9 at 1:30 in my offices. He was speaking for We Are Marina Del Rey. He said that the organization is asking that we deny the item or continue it until it can be considered as part of the marina-wide CDP that is in the works. Piecemealing the individual marina issues will lead to a loss of better understanding of the larger issues that are important to them. So, thank you.
Commissioner Vice Chair Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On Friday, December 10th at approximately 9 a.m., I had a telephone conversation with David Barish of We Are Marina Del Rey. Mr. Barish indicated that this item was coming to the commission in piecemeal fashion, making it difficult for staff to analyze the total negative impacts, particularly the cumulative impacts to boating, vis-a-vis the number of slips, as well as the parking to support the slips and to support public use and enjoyment of this valuable public resource. He indicated the marina has already suffered a loss of 800 slips 30 foot and below. Loss of additional slips is not consistent with the Coastal Act, which protects boating and other coastal recreation activities and which enjoy the highest priority. addition, Mr. Barish explained that the vacancy study was flawed. It should have been conducted as an independent analysis and not conducted as an and not relied on self-reporting. It does not measure true vacancy, as there has been a lot of activity in the marina that has resulted in the creation of artificial vacancies. For example, the vacancies that have been noted are occurring in the areas of planned redevelopment. Also, Mr. Barish criticized the parking, which primarily addresses residential needs and which continues to encroach on the need for parking to support the boaters as well as the public recreation needs. There are no amenities for the public, no parking, no restrooms, no picnic areas or other places for them to sit and enjoy the marina. Another example he gave was, the lack of parking for the public for a water taxi. We are Marina Del Rey is requesting the continuance so that an independent, proper analysis of slip vacancies and public use may be made, so that the workshop can take place, which will hopefully provide objective standards for all marinas up and down the coast, so that the entire master plan be before the commission, a master CDP, be before the commission, and to be able to properly assess the impacts, including the cumulative impacts, and also so that the hearing may be held closer to the project, so that more information can be provided to the commission. That was one. On Saturday, December 11th at 11:45 a.m., I had a telephone conversation with David Grubb, who also spoke on behalf of We Are Marina Del Rey. He indicated that they opposed the staff recommendation to approve the conditions and urged denial or a continuance. And what he indicated was that this marina CDP is part of a larger master waterside CDP application that LA County is preparing for submission in 2011 at the request of Coastal Commission staff. The CDP calls for the loss of 23 slips under 35 feet. Master CDP proposes a loss of 830 plus small slips. The project will result in loss of smaller slips, loss of parking, impacting low-cost recreational boating. Although the impacts from this one project are small, it will set a very bad precedent for the larger project coming next year. The loss of smaller slips is inconsistent with commission recommendations, and that they request that the current project be denied or at least continued so it can be heard closer to the marina where public participation is possible. Thank you.
On the 9th of December at 3 p.m., I had a phone call from David Barish, in which he said that this marina is part of a larger CDP and that this is piecemealing at its worst. He realized that staff reports are CEQA equivalent, but the commission still has to comply with CEQA. And the issues, among other things, are the loss of slips. He says the data does not support the county's contentions. Don't agree that this loss of 23 slips is insignificant. This is a significant loss in this particular marina, because you can't look at the entire Marina Del Rey, and for this marina it is significant. The argument that 19 of the lost slips are for wider requirements, he wanted to know what the basis for that is, where is the analysis, and he said those are not legal requirements anyway, they're just guidelines. And he said the statistics that they're using to deal with, justify this, really aren't applicable. And then he talked about the rate counts and the question on how they were based. I said that the slip study was actually supposed to be attached to the staff report, but it wasn't. And he said he would send it to me, which he did the next day. He sent me the link to the county's website so I could actually look at the slip study. He said that they don't count the end ties, which are mainly for the larger boats, and there are more slips for larger boats than they say. The way they do their vacancy data is not valid. The percentage says, and then on the parking and the reduction of the parking ratio may not be justified. What's the basis for this? And there are none of these spaces are going to be used for the public. And that he then discussed the need for some public amenities. This is public land, and there's a sidewalk now, but I asked him if there any place for picnic tables, and he said yes, picnic tables or benches could be there, and that there was plenty of room for them, and that they should include all of these walkways should be made part of the coastal trail, and that there's no parking for the public spaces and for the public, and any spaces that were freed up should be for the public. And then on the 10th, I received an email from him where he was talking about the cumulative effect. He says that he feels that the Coastal Act provides the commission the authority to deny this project outright and demand L.A. County return with a master CDP with all seven marinas before any separate leaseholds can come forward for approval, given that L.A. County has already stated there will be a master CDP prepared. Commissioner Mercolini?
No.
Commissioner Kruer?
Yes. Excuse me. Madam Chair, I had a phone call ex parte on December 9th at approximately 10 a.m. with Dave Grubb representing We Are Marina Del Rey, and the content of that ex parte was identical to what Vice Chair Sanchez explained that she had in her ex parte.
Commissioner Wickett.
My ex partes are on file.
Commissioner Bloom?
Yes. On December 3rd at 8 a.m. in Santa Monica, I met with Rick Zabur and Susan McCabe, who described the project, reviewed the layout, showing the changes in slips, and discussed the access improvements that the project would bring to the disabled public. On December 13th at 4 p.m., I spoke with Penny Alia by telephone. She was speaking on behalf of We Are Marina Del Rey. And talked to me about their belief that this was piecemealing and that wasn't a good idea, that a marina workshop should be held prior to hearing any CDPs that call for loss of small slips, that the slip loss under 35 feet is inconsistent with the commission's Marina Del Rey LCP review recommendations, that the staff report claims no demand for small slips, yet boating industry experts are now stating that the market forces are changing and the industry needs to change its focus to smaller affordable boats, that regarding slip study vacancy rates, the data has been manipulated and anomalies left unexplained and conclusions misrepresented, thus distorting the true slip supply and demand picture, that the staff report does not review or consider feasible alternative dock reconfigurations that would have less impact on coastal resources, and finally, Ms. Alia said that the organization was requesting a local venue for local participation to enhance local participation.
Commissioner Reese? Okay, thank you. With that, I'll open the public hearing. And I'm going to call up Gary Jones from Los Angeles County Beaches and Harbor. And how much time will you need for your presentation? And I noticed that you have two speaker slips, yours and the applicants. So is that a combined time, or how much time will you need for your part of this?
Good morning, Commissioner Wan, members of the commission. I only need 2 minutes, and then I will turn it over to the co-applicant.
And how much time, Mr. Zabur, how much time will you need for your presentation?
Like 15 minutes.
15?
Okay. Yes, please.
Okay, so will that include rebuttal, or you want some time at the end for rebuttal?
A minute for rebuttal would be
okay,
great.
Okay, fine. All right, so why don't you give this gentleman 3 minutes, and then we'll go to Mr. Zabur.
Good morning again, members of the commission. I'm Gary Jones, the Deputy Director of the Los Angeles County's Department of Beaches and Harbors. The department's director, Mr. Santos Kreiman, unfortunately couldn't be at today's meeting, and he duly sends his apologies. The county and our lessee and co-applicant, NF Marina, seek approval to replace the existing deteriorated Bay Club Marina with a state-of-the-art new marina. An extension of NF Marina's ground lease to facilitate renovation of this leasehold, including the dock replacement plan before you today, was unanimously approved by the County Board of Supervisors in December of 2009. This followed public review and a unanimous vote of support by the Marina's Small Craft Harbor Commission. We very much appreciate coastal staff's hard work and this commission's consideration of our application. I'm available to answer any questions you may have with regards to this project or the Marina Del Rey Harbor. And again, I thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, I will turn it over to Mr. David Nagel from NF Marina.
Okay. Mr. Zabor, I'll give your team 15 minutes for their presentation.
That's great. Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm going to go first, and then Mr. Nagel will close if we have sufficient time. My name is Rick Zabur with Latham & Watkins, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant, NF Marina. And we're here today in full support of the staff's recommendation that the Commission approve the Coastal Development Permit for this project. The project proposes to replace the existing deteriorated 230-slip marina with a new state-of-the-art modern marina with 207 slips. As we'll explain in this presentation, and as the staff has indicated, the proposed reconstruction is consistent with lower cost recreational policies that this commission advances because it increases the number of slips that are less than 30 feet from 14 to 21, and that's different from what the public has been telling you. It also adds 13 new slips that are less than 25 feet that don't currently exist in the marina. It decreases, and that's different from what the public is telling you, the number of slips that are greater than 40 feet. If you look at it from a slip average, it modifies the slip length only slightly from 34.47 feet to 34.73 feet. It really is a status quo replacement. It proposes that approximately 70% of the total available slips be less than 35 feet in length. And as we'll show you, it improves water quality and does not impact ESHA or any species of biological significance. The property is owned by the county. Our client leases the property from the county, and the Bay Club Marina improvements are owned and operated by our client, NF Marina. The project also has both a landside and a marina component. And some of the questions you raise have to do with that difference. The landside component is not before the commission because it was merely a cosmetic facelift of two existing apartment buildings. They were not changing the number of units. There was no added density. It really was a cosmetic facelift. And the county and the Coastal Commission staff determined that that was exempt from a coastal development permit on the land side. So what is before you today is merely the waterside portion of the marina, which is shown up in the blue at the top of the screen. We are here today because this marina is in really bad shape. It was originally constructed in 1969. It's at the end of its useful life, and it needs to be reconstructed very soon. It requires constant maintenance to remain operational. It experiences dock listing or a twist of the end fingers caused by the warping lumber. Frequent metal connection failure and bolt corrosion, and the walking deck failures are caused by dry rot. The failure to approve this project could adversely impact recreational activities as it would result in continued degradation of this very deteriorated marina. The applicants proposed a new state-of-the-art modern marina, and here's some depictions of what it will look like. It would have new anchorage, would be redeveloped with commercially available pre-manufactured concrete dock systems, which provide a clean, modern appearance and would requires minimal maintenance. Newly installed guide piles would be pre-stressed concrete, which have a long life, no maintenance, and concealed guide rub clocks. The dock would not be painted and would retain the natural color of its various building materials. The reconstruction would also incorporate a significant water quality improvement, a pump-out system that allows for in-slip sewage pump-out for all boats in the marina and that greatly enhances water quality over existing conditions. Recent studies have indicated that changes in market demand show a significant demand for larger boat slips and a significantly reduced demand for smaller slips. Additionally, there's an increase in the rate of dry docking for smaller boats, and this demand and the dry docking option has resulted in higher vacancy rates for the smaller slips. This is something that I think you've heard before from the county. Small boat slips have historically suffered the highest vacancy rates, and vacancy rates for small boat slips continue to increase. Marina Del Rey boat slip vacancy rates are significantly higher for small boat slips between 18 and 25 feet compared to the larger sizes, and you can see the numbers on the screen. Despite these market trends, and because our client is under such significant time pressures to obtain financing for the reconstruction and the landside renovation. They decided to pull back from earlier options, which would have reduced slips more, and really propose a status quo project. The applicants propose a slip configuration that minimizes the loss of boat slips for the marina. The slip loss is the bare minimum necessary to comply with DBOT guidelines and ADA access requirements. This graphic shows the existing marina on the top and the proposed marina on the bottom. The green on the existing marina shows the loss of 4 boat slips that are due to compliance with federal ADA access requirements. And if you look at the depiction on the bottom, you can see on those left 3 docks the access ramps that are necessary to get to those 3 docks. And those, just putting in those access ramps for ADA takes out those 4 boat slips. So that's where the loss of 4 boat slips comes from. If you look back on the top diagram, then you're going to see pink slips. That's the existing marina. And those slips are the slips that come out because of DBAR requirements. Basically, what the DBAR requirements do is, because boats have become wider over time and required greater turning clearances, it requires that a slip of the same length today be slightly wider than a slip that was reconstructed when the marina was constructed. And basically, when you add all these up, it results in, when you try to replace a marina, essentially one slip being lost in every row. And you can sort of see that through that depiction. Assuring that the slip ratio is preserved, in addition, these 19 boat slips shown in pink in the existing area are due to compliance with the DBOT guidelines, which require these wider slips and fairways. Going to the next slip, the ADA require, you've heard from some members of the public that we're providing too many ADA slips, and I think there was some confusion caused by the staff report that Jack indicated that we're providing something like 49 ADA slips. That is actually inaccurate. The ADA minimum requirements for a dock this size are that we provide 5 slips, and those slips are shown, the ones that are designated to comply are shown in yellow. The DBAR requirements also require that access to certain slips of certain sizes and to the end ties be of certain widths. And so because of those additional requirements, 6 additional slips actually technically meet ADA requirements. So we're going above the minimum. We provide 11 slips. We looked at all of the finger widths, which is the slip widths between each of the boats, and looked at whether there were any discretionary finger widths that were wider than they needed to be. And frankly, there was only one in those 3 docks that provided ADA access that was wider than was necessary to either comply with ADA requirements or to comply with an independent DBAR requirement. And that was a slip width which was 5 feet, which could have been 3 feet. So we could not have added an additional slip with the additional 2 feet. So that is the issue with respect to the ADA issue. Going back to the slip mix, as shown in these tables, with the specific intent of addressing the public's and the commission's and the commission staff's concerns regarding the preservation of small boat availability and the protection of low-cost recreational facilities, NF Marina developed a slip configuration that is designed to minimize to the extent possible the lots of boat slips while maintaining the approximate status quo in terms of the slip mix ratio. The table on the left shows the proposed ratio in slip numbers. Although the project will result in relatively minor loss of only 23 slips, the project will actually increase the number of small slips that are less than 25 feet in length and decrease the number of slips that are over 40 feet in length. So you see that basically the reductions are being taken across the board, and we're giving you both the numbers and the percentages, and you can see that I think it's fair to characterize this as a status quo replacement. Going to the next slide, looking at it another way of demonstrating that the status quo is maintained is by looking at the average slip length, which the project proposes to increase only slightly from 34.47 feet to 34.73 feet. In addition, contrary to some of the public assertions, the project actually increases the less than 30 feet slips from 14 to 21, including the 13 new less than 25 foot slips. So overall, the project proposes approximately 70% of the total available slips for boats being under 35 feet in length. despite the fact that the applicant enhanced lower-cost recreational boating opportunities by increasing the number of small slips, your staff has recommended Special Condition 1 requiring a low-cost boating payment. Well, NF Marine technically does not believe it should be required to pay this payment because we're increasing the number of small boats due to the slip configuration. We do not object to the imposition of Special Condition 1 proposed by your staff. The project provides maximum access and recreational opportunities. The boat's slips will continue, and this is inconsistent with, I think, what you heard from some members of the public. The boat slips are today and will continue to be available to the public on an at-lease basis, providing the public with opportunities for recreation. In addition, and this is an issue that came up, I think, on Commissioner Wan's and Commissioner Sanchez's ex parte, there is a public waterfront pedestrian promenade located on the land side. The reason why the staff hasn't focused on it is because it's outside the parcel that is part of the CDP. But the land side has a public promenade. It's open to the public, and it will continue to be open to the public. And in fact, in the next slide, I'll show you, the county required us as part of the cosmetic renovation of the apartments to actually improve that with landscaping and public benches. And so there is a significant public enhancements to the promenade. With respect to parking, designated on-site parking for marina lessees and their guests is provided on the adjacent surface parking lot. What you're hearing from the public, again, is inaccurate. The marina currently has 169 spaces, and the project proposes to increase those number of spaces to 172, despite the fact that there is some modest slip loss for the marina and their lessees. That exceeds both the Los Angeles County Code limit of 0.7, requirement of 0.75 spaces per boat slip, and the lower limit of 0.675 per boat slip, which would have required only 140 spaces. So we're well above both the code requirements and we're above what's currently provided on the site. We're increasing parking, we're not decreasing parking. This is also not like other projects that have come before the commission in which on the land side, the developer may be proposing some new project with a lot of density where there's some need to take away parking from the marina. In this case, they're doing only a cosmetic renovation. There is no new number of units. There's no additional density that's competing for the marina's parking. Going to the next slide, this is actually showing you, and of course this is not part of your permit, but it is part of the conditions imposed by the county. This shows you some of the improvements to the public promenade that will be on the land side, which include seating benches, new landscaping, and improvements. Next slide. I'm not going to go through this in a lot of detail because I'm running out of town. I want to give Mr. time, and I want to give Mr. Nagel some time. But it does have significant improvements in water quality. All the BMPs you would require, a number of special conditions are imposed by your staff, requiring silt curtains, those kinds of things. And then the sewage pump out is really a very significant water quality improvement. I mean, this will be something that is not in place today. Next site, we've done this kinds of surveys. There's no eelgrass on this site, no bird avian species. Nevertheless, your staff has imposed the typical protective special conditions that require us to confirm that and of course, protect any species that are found prior to the construction. Next slide. We do have, this will have minimal impact on the boaters involved. We're going to do this in phases, giving them opportunities to sort of move in slips while the construction is being done. And so we tried to do that in order to minimize recreational impact opportunities. So to close with my time, and I want to give a minute over to Mr. Nagel, we ask that you approve this today because we think this really is the best you can do. And really the bottom line, and I think what Mr. Nagel will tell you, is this is a break even for this company. They are not making any money on the water side. The only reason why they're proceeding is because they have to in order to extend their leases for both the land side and the water side. And they elected, because we knew that there would be this issue of wanting to look at any kind of change in the mix, in a holistic way, to not propose a change in the slip mix so that this could move forward. Literally, the projections show that with this slip mix, because they've got to finance $8 million for the dock rent, for the dock construction, that all of the revenues that are proposed will go to make the lease payments to the county, maintenance on the site, and pay for the financing cost. They literally cannot afford something that is actually going against, counter to the market demand. So I'll close with that and give Mr. Nagel the last 30 seconds to address the commission.
Thank you very much for allowing me to address you, Madam Chair and fellow commissioners. Just to reinforce the point, as we looked at the...
I need you to state your name for the
record, sorry, please. I apologize. David Nagel, president of NF Marina. And just to reinforce what Rick Zeff and our co-applicant at the county is trying to stress the point, I just want to stress the point that when we looked at redesigning this marina, we looked really at three things. We knew we needed to redesign the marina to meet the ADA requirements, to meet the requirements of DEBA, and to minimize the loss of slips. And what I hope you saw today in our presentation is our focus on doing that. And we thank you very much for your consideration of our application.
Thank you. With that, I'll call Fran Gibson. You have an organized presentation. Do you have a set number of minutes for each of your speakers, or do you want to just set it at total 15 and you'll let it run?
We will probably use less than the 15, Commissioner Wan, but and we've worked it out. So Maggie Herbelin will follow me.
All right. You have 15.
Thank you. Honorable Commissioners, I am Fran Gibson, and I'm speaking today on behalf of We Are Marina Del Rey, a community group concerned about this project. And I'm speaking in particular for David Barish and for Nancy Vernon Marina. We ask that this item be continued so that it can be heard as part of the Master Waterside Coastal Development Permit that Los Angeles County is preparing for submission to this commission in 2011. This Master Waterside CDP includes NF Marina on the agenda today, along with six other marina slip redevelopments planned for Marina Del Rey. If this item is not continued, we ask you that you deny the CDP outright. If I hold up my finger, will you move to the next slide? That would be very helpful. Well, if we can just wait a moment while our PowerPoint is brought up. Thank you. Pardon? Yes, you have it. Okay, good. Great. Okay. We want to address 11 concerns that we have with this project, problems with this marina redevelopment CDP. The first one is an accurate slip count. The staff report shows slip counts going from 230 to 207, and yet the website for NF Marina says it contains 253 slips. Why is there a difference? Are these the 11 end ties? What is the true slip count? And what is the true slip loss here? Slide 4, please. There are 11 end ties, which are 80 feet long, that can accommodate two 40-foot slips per end ties, according to the Bay Club project description included with their landslide application. These end ties are not included in the slip counts. The existing and proposed number of slips, 40 feet and over, are understated, in our opinion, by 22. Even more damaging, the exclusion of the end ties enables the slip ratio data and average slip length to be manipulated. We have recalculated the slip ratios, adding in the 22 40-foot slips, and you can see that the ratios change significantly, revealing the true intent is to eliminate small slips for larger ones. So this marina calls for the reduction of 23 to 46 slips, depending on whose slip count you use, commissioners. The Master Waterside CDP calls for the elimination of 825 plus slips under 35 feet. And it is important to remember, commissioners, that the Commission's Marina Del Rey LCP review recommendations called for no slips under 35 feet to be eliminated. In 2003, during the slip redevelopment for Esprit 1, which called for the reduction of 249 slips, Commissioner Kruer said, and I quote, "You can't keep doing this. You can't keep reducing these slips," end of quote. Stan Wisniewski, the director of Beaches and Harbors at that time, said, and I quote, "We're done. There will be no more slip reductions," end of quote. We are very concerned about further loss of slips. As you can see from this diagram, since 1989, there have been over 713 slips under 35 feet eliminated. add in the 825 plus proposed, and that's 1,538 small slips eliminated. And clearly this is inconsistent with the Coastal Act. Our third concern is piecemeal planning, because this slip redevelopment is coming forward in a piecemeal fashion in contradiction to CEQA and our Coastal Act. The public and this commission are unable to determine the cumulative effects of the loss of slips on coastal resources such as recreational boating and public access. This is why the master waterside CDP was being prepared. Why are we hearing this, Marina, today? Section 30105.5 of the Coastal Act states, quote, cumulatively, or quote, cumulative effect, end of quote, means the incremental effects of an individual project shall be reviewed in connection with the effects of past projects, the effects of other current projects, and the effects of probable future projects. The staff report fails to provide a cumulative analysis of slip loss effects on coastal resources. The applicant states that slip losses for this project are due to ADA requirements for 4 slips and the Department of Boating and Waterway guidelines for 19 slips, and for market demand, a shift from the smaller to larger slips. Our fourth concern is the use of the Department of Boating and Waterway guidelines. The applicant and the staff report want you to believe that DBAW guidelines are a legal, compliant set of rules and that we must meet these guidelines. This is not true. We believe LA County is using the guidelines as a cover to justify eliminating a massive amounts of small slips in favor of larger ones. I quote from the guideline introduction section, quote, the guidelines address typical conditions and are not intended to be all-inclusive or absolute, end of quote. And from a representative from DBAW, Los Angeles County with 13 million residents and a large boating population cannot be considered a typical condition in reference to the guidelines, end of quote. The staff report contains no analysis of how these guidelines cause a loss of 19 slips, nor does it provide any feasible alternative slip configurations that could allow for fewer slip losses. There are recent redevelopment projects that have followed the DBAW guidelines without any slip loss, and this is our goal. I now will turn you over to Maggie Herberlin.
Thank you. My name is Maggie Herberlin, and I'm here also to speak for the We Are Marina Del Rey group. One of our next concerns is the need for a marina workshop. This is really why we need to continue the CDP until a marina workshop is held, and these types of issues can be discussed by commissioners, staff, operators, boaters, and the public. In terms of demands for boats, the LA commissioned a study that says large boats are in demand, small boats are not. Contrary to this, the staff report cites studies that show small slip demands will grow into the 2020s. Then the staff report cites the LA vacancy data to support the lower demand for smaller slips. It's inconsistent. But the latest trends in boating are telling a different story, that is. Here are two quotes from a November 2010 industry article. From the National Marine Manufacturers Association president, I quote, "For years, as long as I've been in the industry, everyone was working to build bigger and bigger and bigger boats. And it's interesting to hear that it's kind of moving in the other direction, and I think it needs to. We've got to build what the market wants, and right now it wants smaller boats." From a major boat builder, I quote, "It's important for the industry as a whole to keep boating affordable. Those who can help make boating more affordable, they're going to win in this market." This certainly calls into question the demand picture painted by LA County and the applicant. The slip study was commissioned by the LA County to study market demand, pricing, and vacancy rates. Unfortunately, the slip study does not use its own data. It relies on vacancy rate data that is self-reported by the lessees themselves and provided by LA County. It leaves out an analysis of end ties and in ties, which mainly hold large boats and account for between 400 and 500 slips, almost 10% of the total marina slips. This means that the 400 to 500 slips for large boats exist, but are not included in vacancy and demand analysis data. Why not? Is it the fact that these slips are required to be available for transient boating traffic? Should they be included or not? The study also highlighted the existence of higher vacancy in marinas slated for redevelopment, but did not account for these anomalies in its conclusion on how the future marina should look. LA County's vacancy data is skewed too, but does not portray a true picture. As an example, we calculated the April 2009 vacancy figures using LA County numbers. They showed a vacancy rate of 6.3% for small slips and 0.9% for large slips. But the figures excluded 109 vacant large slips at Espirit One that opened in June 2008. And they calculated vacancy rates using total slips in the denominator versus total slips per slip size. When you calculate it correctly and add the 109 vacant large slips, you get a very different picture. 9.1 vacancy in small slips and 10.5 vacancy in large slips. It is unclear how vacancy rates were calculated in the slip study, but it is likely they were calculated incorrectly as well. As we mentioned, the slip study highlighted anomalies in small slip vacancies, such as why do some marinas have a few small slip vacancies while others have significant slip vacancies? And this, I think, is important. As it turned out, the marinas with the largest small slip vacancies are those that are planning to redevelop. They use significant increases in fees to vacate and to create an illusionary lack of demand and have kept them vacant while waiting to redevelop. An example of this follows. In 2007, Bar Harbor Marina stopped renting out small slips in anticipation of redeveloping. Vacancy rates in small slips of 35 feet and less jumped from 1% to 30%. In 2008, redevelopment was put on hold indefinitely, and the slips were open again to renting. Vacancy rates in small slips dropped back down to zero, while slips over 36 feet went from 0 to 7%. Thus, what really is the true demand for small slips? One thing is definite. I think we have clearly demonstrated that the loss of small slips is not warranted, whether due to implementation of Department of Boating and Waterways guidelines or due to market demand. Next, I would like to focus on the lack of public amenities. This project does not provide any general public amenities like benches, picnic tables, public parking, or restrooms. It is especially public parking. It is clear that the fingers provide a great opportunity for the public to access the coast and to view boats and the views to walk, stroll, picnic, exercise, etc. In fact, we strongly believe that the accessway along this side of the marina, as well as the other fingers of the marina, should become an extension of the California Coastal Trail that already goes around the marina exterior. Such designation would provide a great benefit to the local, regional, state, and international visitors and the general public. Thus, we propose the following public amenities be added. When the CDP is heard for approval, the project will provide 172 spaces for boaters, 315 parking spaces for marina residents, and the lowest priority in the coastal zone, but no spaces for public parking. Since LA County plans on eliminating the closest public parking lot to this marina, a block away, a minimum of 10 public parking spaces should be provided. Additionally, we propose adding benches, square picnic tables with sunshades, drinking fountains, and public restrooms on the site. Finally, we come to the mitigation or in-lieu fee charge for this project. The present value of one 30-foot slip rental provided to fund youth boating, that's the in-lieu fee charge. While this is a commendable endeavor and one recommended by this commission in its LCP review, the two have nothing to do with each other, and this in-lieu fee does not mitigate the loss of small slips in this project. Additionally, the staff reports that small slips can move to dry stack storage facilities, but these facilities are currently proposed and are years away from completion. More importantly, many of these small boats that are asking to be used in small in the stackings are not stackable boats. Mostly anything over about 14 feet, 15 feet becomes unstackable. And feasibility alternative dock configurations have not been reviewed to see if the slip loss can be minimized. To conclude, we are asking that you continue this item so it can be heard as a part of the Master Waterside CDP next year, and provisions to hearing This and other marina redevelopment permits should be done after the LCP review is finalized and a marina workshop conducted. Barring a continuance, we ask you to deny this permit because it is inconsistent with the Coastal Act. Thank you.
I have one more speaker slip, Michael Auer. You have 3 minutes, Mr. Auer.
Madam Chair, commissioners, staff, guests, I'm Mike Auer. I have lived in the marina for 22 years, and I'm here today simply to tell you what it's like to be a boater in the marina. I have seen people fall through the plywood decking. I have experienced multiple electrical failures because of inadequate wiring. I have had difficulty boarding my boat because of a tweaked dock. I am glad I'm not doing maintenance on these docks. It is a nightmare. I'm here only to talk about dock conditions. I'm not here to talk about quotas. I'm not here to talk about bundling. I'm simply talking to you as a boater. As a boater, I badly need a new dock as soon as possible. 40 years of heavy use have left us with ragged, splintered decks, with a patched-together electrical system, with leaking flotation tubs, and with tweaked and twisted docks. I would hope that as soon as possible you can rectify the situation. I have talked with many other boaters in the marina who share my point of view. I am not here to speak to the merits of the plan, but I do appreciate the management company and the owners, including us in their consultation. I appreciate the idea of a phased reconstruction so that not all of us are displaced at once. I especially appreciate sewage pump out. You have no idea. You have no idea what it's like to have to arrange sewage pump out off site. I would call your attention to the reality that this is a shovel-ready project, and I hope and urge your serious consideration to some kind of action as soon as possible so that we no longer have to worry about falling through the docks, having our electricity fail, having our docks tweak and twist, and having us have to go off-site to have our sewage pumped out. Thank you for your attention. I'm done.
Thank you. Did you want to hand something in?
I do.
Could you give it to staff at the staff table, please? Thank you. And with that, Mr. Zabor, you have I've reserved 3 minutes for your rebuttal time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the first thing I wanted to just talk about was just the assertions about the different numbers that you saw up there. What exists today are 230 slips and 11 antis. What we're proposing are 207 slips and 11 antis. The antis don't change, you know, anything. We've been trying to keep it pure, looking at the slips against the slips, and because the antis don't change, you know, we have 11 antis. And I think the reason why she's basically had a number that had 252 is because what she's doing is she's adding the existing 230 slips to the 11 antis, which can accommodate up to two boats. And so I think she's sort of those numbers, and it may be on our own marketing websites, basically said we can accommodate up to 252 boats. So if you take 11 antis times 222, add that to 230, that's how you get to 252. So really what we have here is 230 slips with 11 antis, 207 slips with 11 antis. So when you look at the slips alone, they're proportionally coming down roughly equally at the top and at the bottom. Second thing is, we've spent a lot of time about the vacancy rates in Marina Del Rey. I will basically say on that is that, and if you want to ask the county, they have a better understanding of that, but they are very careful about monitoring their vacancy rates because it's basically what they do to assure the revenue that they're getting, and they have a very significant auditing system that the marina lessees are subject to because it's the amount of money that they've got to pay. So, if you have questions about the vacancy rates, I think, the county is here and can answer can answer those questions. I think the bottom line is that this is a project that has tried to maintain the status quo. It has been in the process for well over 2 years now. It did precede this area-wide CDP, and that's the reason why. And the reason why both the county and the Coastal Commission staff elected to allow it to proceed is both because we've been in the process a long time and the time frames are coming up, but also because it doesn't raise any kind of precedent for you. We've responded to the issue about whether this is piecemealing. This under CEQA, this isn't piecemealing. This is a separate project owned by a separate owner. It is not an integral part of the other marina development projects. I can't think of cumulative impacts that they share. In this case, you actually have fewer. We're not increasing density on the marina. When you look at it from a CEQA perspective, you actually have fewer docks. So you have lesser impacts. The only issue here, I think, is really the issues that you all focus on with respect to lower cost visitor serving use. And what I would ask you to do is think about the fact that this is a break-even project for these guys. The only reason why they're moving forward is because they're hoping to get their return on the land side portion of the improvements, and these have to go together, essentially. And so they looked at a scenario where there was no net loss of slips. That scenario requires that you have lots of little slips that are marketable, and they lose money on that. So with that, I ask for you to act on this today, and thank you very much. And we're here with the engineer in the county if you have any questions.
Thank you. With that, I'll return to staff.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I think most of the issues, some of the issues were covered by Mr. Zabur. That I was going to cover with regard to the number of boat slips, the difference in the number of slips between the existing proposed, and it does relate to the end ties. Area that was not covered was the DBAW guidelines and whether those guidelines are used as a cover for eliminating small slips. And lacking any standard, these guidelines do provide for a reasonable marina guidelines to provide for, in our view, a safe and functional marina with regard to the size of the slips, the fairways, the gangways, the finger piers, all those things. The DBAW are the state experts with regard to these marina designs, and so that's why we're relying on those. And without those guidelines, there are no standards to go by, either local standards or so. It is important that I think these guidelines be used in the future. In addition, in order to obtain a loan from DBAW, you must comply with these guidelines. I briefly talked about any additional amenities, public amenities, landside amenities that the opponents were requesting, and we just don't believe we have a nexus in this case or basis to ask for additional public amenities. Now, the in-lieu fee payment for lower-cost boating opportunities is primarily to mitigate, the loss of lower-cost slips, in the sense that as these marinas are turned over, the slip fees will increase probably significantly, and this is a way of mitigating for that for those higher slip fees through the in-lieu payment. With that, I think that'll conclude staff's comments. Thank you.
With that, I'll return to the commission. Commissioner Burke.
Madam Chairman, as soon as I get this in the right position on my computer.
Yeah, you want to speak into the mic?
I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number 5-10-076 pursuant to the staff recommendation recommended, and yes vote. And if I can get a second, I'd like to speak to my motion. Second. On this particular item, I'd like to commend staff. When they started the discussion of this item initially, I think it was very clarifying in their discussion that they say that each one of these projects is going to have to be evaluated on its own merit. And the fact that we're going to be holding a workshop in the near term will not provide us with all the answers that we need to make the decision. It will just provide us with information on which to base our decisions. I always find it difficult to understand how, when you impose ADA restrictions on a marina to improve their slip to ADA specifications, you know that they're in a finite space. You know, it's not like they can move 20 feet over, 100 feet over, and pick up to mitigate that increase in requirement. So I think that this particular applicant has done an exceptional job in keeping the number of slips reduced to a minimum. I did meet with the county a couple months ago on some of their projects that are coming through Marina Del Rey and told them that I couldn't support some of those projects no matter how they changed them because they were horrific. And I think when this commission gets to see them, if they get to see them, they'll have just a horrible reaction. But this isn't one of them. This is a good project, and in keeping in mind the safety of the boaters on those slips currently, if you haven't ever been on a slip at night on a causeway at night, which is in ill repair and which is cantilevered in the water because of flotation defects, you don't know what dangerous is. This situation, under it, if they weren't going to put in new stuff, could be taken under health and safety code because it's a bad situation. So I would recommend a yes vote on this.
Commissioner Graham, you're second. Okay. Commissioner Mercurini.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for staff, please. And you spoke to this, so I just wanted to get a little more analysis from you, if you could. Essentially, all of the loss of slips are between 26 to 30. Why isn't there been emphasis on that the loss of slips be spread more evenly, especially for the larger sizes between 32 and 38?
Well, if you look at the chart on page 14, this is through the chair, there's a large number of 30-foot slips. The applicant here was attempting to distribute the slips across a wider range of slip sizes to provide a balance between each category of slips. So it was to balance it out more to provide more, because they are providing some more smaller slips, and just distributing that more evenly across the board, across the whole range of slips, if that makes sense.
In some part. and then with regard to public amenities, like benches, responsibility is on whom, and what would we want to see in terms of adequate and appropriate amount of amenities?
Well, typically, for the landside development, it's usually those landside public amenities are linked to the development of the, you know, for the landside parcel,
right,
pursuant to the guidelines of the LCP. And we've been working with the county on their upcoming amendment, and through that amendment, we're going to comprehensively address the so the recreational amenities and the public access around the marina through that amendment. We think that's the more appropriate place to deal with that in a comprehensive way. This one, we're only limited, in this case, we're limited to the parcel in the water subject to our original permit jurisdiction. We just don't think there's any basis to require landside amenities in this case.
And so the promenade should not have benches, or we would like to see more benches in the promenade?
Well, that's not before us, but we'd certainly like to see more benches, and I think they did actually provide benches. I think the county required benches along the promenade when they dealt with the exemption for the landslide apartments, even though that was an exempt development and negotiated that out with developer.
I could, if the commission so chose, provide some clarification on that.
No, excuse me. One of the commissioners would have to ask you a question and call you up, and they may choose to do that.
Madam Chair, it's fine. I'd be more than happy to hear from the applicant.
I apologize and thank you. The promenade portion of the leasehold...
Your name, please.
Excuse me. Gary Jones with the Los Angeles County Department of Beaches and Harbor. The promenade, while it isn't before you today, is a component of the leasehold. So it is governed by the lease that the county has with NF Marina. When the lease was extended, or when the review process leading up to that extension was conducted, the improvements to the promenade were discussed, and in fact, those improvements were addressed by the Marina's Design Review Committee, and public amenities have been required along the improved promenade as part of the renovation of the apartment component of the leasehold. In fact, there will be a total of 10 public benches provided along the promenade, in addition to enhanced landscaping and hardscaping as well.
So 10 distributed throughout the promenade, is that exact?
Yes, that's correct. Expect? Throughout the portion of the promenade that is within the leasehold that NF Marina has.
And again, the other amenities, a little hard to hear.
The other amenities are, I believe, drinking fountains, landscaping, and a complete repaving or refinishing of the promenade ground surface, and lighting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Applicant has indicated that this is a status quo project, and yet the parking is being reduced. And I didn't hear a response to the suggestion that parking has been divided between residential and the boaters, and there was no discussion at all about parking available to the public. That's a concern that I have. The reduction is to, I believe it was 0.6 for the slips. That's the that's what's going to be available to them. Could you respond to the suggestion that the parking is being more and more infringed upon by residential use versus the boaters and or public use? And could you point out where the public use is within this area, since you're going forward on this as an independent leasehold? Yes.
The first is that the parking for the marina is not being reduced. It's actually being increased from 169 to 172 spaces. That exceeds both the county, the lower county requirement, which is 0.65 spaces, if it's associated with the residential use, and the higher one, which is 0.75, we exceed both of those. The leasehold, they are required to be provided, and those are dedicated to the marina side and are independent of the parking. There's additional parking that meets code requirements for the apartments. So we are providing excess parking. The parking is for the marina, and remember, the marina is available for lease to the public. So in essence, this is, while it isn't public parking and that any member of the public can come up, it is parking that is dedicated to the marina. Now, the last thing I'll just say about the parking is this isn't a redevelopment of a site. This is a site on this land side. It has existing apartment buildings. They're not really doing anything but cosmetically doing a facelift and an interior renovation. And they had parking required, it's all existing parking, and they've basically added more for the marina side of it. So there's no there's no new revenue source other than what they're going to end up getting from the facelift of the marina to pay for anything else on this site. So it's unlike, I think, other things you may see at the county where there's a wholesale redevelopment where you may be putting in hotels or new residences, there's new density. This really is a replacement of the marina because it is so degraded, and they're hoping to pay for it with a cosmetic facelift of the apartment so that they can finance it.
Is there parking for the water taxi that was referred to earlier?
The water taxi is not really part of our project. It's part of an adjacent project. So I think Mr. Nagel can give you more about the details about the water taxi. But there is a, I think some of these comments are, I think, are relevant to some of the broader issues at the site. The water taxi is part of a redevelopment project. It's on an adjacent project, but is not relevant to us. Do you want to?
Well, let me ask you this. Is there an opportunity for the water taxi to stop in this leasehold? And if so, then would there need to be parking to service that whoever individual that wishes to be dropped off there?
The county is here, so they'll even probably be able to confirm this better than I can. But next door to our site is the only vacant remaining land in Marina Del Rey. And that unimproved land site is going to be improved in the future with a, I believe it's a 2-acre park with an adjoining hotel. It's known as the Winfin, I think, hotel. And the plan is for the water taxi to park at that location. And there's public boat slips, as I understand, planned by the county at that location that will be available for the water taxi and other and the public in general to park there.
Can the speaker state his name on the record, please?
This is David Nagel of NF Marina.
Thank you very much. And then I have a question for staff. Having to do with the vacancy study that was actually not attached to the to staff's report, I did notice that when there was a comparison of the slips, there were different standards used. One was in one report, and I guess the existing one was the 26 to 30 foot. And so existing number of slips were 78 in that category. Proposed with 48, so there was an actual net loss of 30 in that category. The highest loss were the 30-foot and the 28-foot. And with the proposed, it was a different description. It was a 26 to 30, 26 to 35. So it appears that it's not comparing apples to apples, and that was a problem that I had in trying to determine what the net loss was to the actual voters. And did you have any issues about that? Any problems with that? And also, did you note any irregularities with respect to the vacancy study in terms of who was doing reporting or you got the numbers? Were the numbers actually referred to the same information?
Well, yes, through the chair, with regard to the vacancy studies and the source of the data, it's coming from the county based on their monthly reports from the marina operators. We have no basis to suspect these numbers that there's some malfeasance going on there. There's no evidence that has ever been submitted to demonstrate that. With regard to how the parsing out of the different slip sizes, where it's below 30 or from 25, we were just trying to show different, percentages within the different mix, or to provide different mixes to demonstrate to the commission the overall loss of slips. Now, below 30 feet, there's the proposed is 29% of the total slips. Before it was, I think, 33% of the totals. So there was a reduction below 30 feet. And there is. But on the other hand, they're providing, 13 slips that are 25 feet and less. So in my view, it's spreading out the range of, right, of boat slips to make a more balanced, slip mix in this marina.
Last question to staff. Is this the last leasehold that will be considered individually before the master CDP comes before us?
Are there any other separate leaseholds within the marina that are going
to
be?
Well, through the chair, to my knowledge, there aren't. But if the county was to submit an application, we would have to deal with that application.
Well, I understand that there is an existing master CDP that's coming forward. So that would go first. Is that correct?
Well, we're working with the county, and at our suggestion to come and look at this issue in a more comprehensive manner, that's the plan, to come in with this master CDP.
Right.
But I think the county would be better equipped to answer whether or not they're going to come in with any additional marinas permits prior to that master CDP. We have expressed our concern that that should not happen.
Right. Okay, I don't have to hear from the county anymore. Thank you very much. I'll just state my concerns about this, is that it's very difficult for me to determine the cumulative impacts, and that's my biggest issue. I understand wanting to extend the categories, but it does seem like there is, the concerns have to do with specific, the 28-footers and the 30-footers, and the parking. It's hard for me to evaluate the impacts, true impacts to the parking. Thank you.
Commissioner Stone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Clearly in this project, there are quite a few benefits to it, and some of the things, just repairing the docks, improving boating in this marina clearly seems to be a pretty significant impact and benefit for it. I like the fact that this applicant is considering these 13 additional slips below 30 feet, and the sewage pump out, ADA access, clearly really very significant benefits to this project. And one, I guess, comment to staff, on page 14, this table that you referred to that lists out the slip lengths, the existing total and proposed total, I would recommend, or I would hope for any marina that comes before us in the future, that we get a breakdown like this, because it becomes, I think, difficult to understand the true impact of the changes in the slip mix that any marina applicant is proposing to us without a breakdown like this. And if you parse the numbers even slightly differently, for example, if you look at slips that are 30 feet and under, they're going from 78 to 61, which is a loss of 17 slips. And that includes this addition of the slips of 22, 24, 25 feet. If you then look at 35 feet and under, we're losing 30 slips in that size. And if you look then above from the 36-foot slips up, there's an increase of 7 there. So depending on how you parse the numbers, you're looking at, you can come to some different conclusions about what the changes in the slip mix really represent. So to me, it's not necessarily a status quo. I think there are some challenges, even given the fact that there are some changes that are forced by the DBOS standards, which are good standards, and by ADA access. I'm also very concerned about the larger issue that's here. This commission has usually been very concerned about looking at individual projects when there's a larger potential review that is contemplated or that is necessary. And if we're not careful in what we approve or not approve at this stage, I think we could end up with unintended consequences. While this looks to be much more in line with what this commission has been discussing in prior marina reviews, right, then what we don't know is the impact and or what the changes are going to be with the other marinas. And every little impact has a potential cumulative, much larger effect. And I think we need to be cognizant of that. If we were to wait a little bit and get a chance to take a look at the broader marina, go through the workshop or look at the broader marina review, then I think we would have a much, much better idea of what the impacts overall are going to be. We could then also have a better idea of the consistency of the public benefits. There's been some talk about public benefits. There may be some associated with this project, but if we're going to have consistent public benefits, including additional trails through here, since there are so many different marinas involved, that I think needs to be done on a consistent basis. And we really can't do that without looking at the bigger picture. There may not be habitat issues in this particular marina, but the habitat issues across the marina Marina Del Rey certainly are significant. So making sure that we understand the combined impacts across the board, I think, would lead us to not wanting to do this in a piece-by-piece basis. That is certainly one of my concerns here. So from a policy standpoint, from our standpoint, weighing the benefits of a project that meets a lot of what we've been talking about as far as constraints and what we'd like to see in marinas against this sort of individually stepping through, looking at a project that has some very clear benefits to the boaters, the ADA, the improved docks, the sewage pump out. But again, what is it that we as a policymaking body want to look at leads me to believe that either waiting on this, looking at this in concert with the other marinas that are involved or the larger picture would probably be a much better way to go. So I'm asking commissioners to be clear in what we're trying to look at here and be cautious, as we are in so many other venues, of looking at one piece at a time where we potentially could sacrifice the whole or larger issues that are clearly very important to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Neely?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the staff's done a really great job in their analysis of this project, and I don't agree with Commissioner Burke. I don't look at them as ADA restrictions. I look at getting in compliance with ADA as offering more accessibility to the public. And I am going to support this project for those reasons. I think we're actually creating more access for people, not less.
Commissioner Burke, you wanted to speak again?
No, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but there were some comments that were made that I thought I should try and... Because when you look at the number of slip mix versus the appellant and the applicant, I felt like I was talking to my tax attorney, because it was apples and oranges and up numbers and down numbers and slip sizes. But when you talk about waiting a little bit to approve a project like this, you're talking about 2 years. So what you're doing is putting the people at risk who are using those docks every day, while we look at the largest man-made harbor in a pleasure craft harbor in the world for a trend. I'm not sure that happens. That, in conjunction with the fact that every marina in the state of California is in some kind of disrepair, and they're all coming to us. That's why we're having the workshop. It's going to be a deluge of marinas before this commission in the next year or so. So I'm really not in the ilk of waiting 2 years to see if there is a trend or if we can make a model or a continuing pattern for these marinas. One last comment, Intyes. Intyes have been an argument of mariners since time immemorial, because the real mariners don't want an intye. And the reason they don't want an intye is that you can only operate on one side of the boat at a time. So if you want to wash the boat or do maintenance on the boat or have any kind of interaction to the hull of the boat, you have to actually turn the boat around to get to the other side. So I think it was admirable on these people's behalf to only keep 11 intyes. You know, mariners love that. So that's all the comments I have.
Any other comments? Oh, Commissioner Wickett.
I think Commissioner Stone articulated accurately the balance we have here between appears to be a good project and the need to wait and try to have a uniform solution to all of these. I think Commissioner Burke also points out good points on the state of harbors generally, of marinas generally in California. I think the staff has done a really great job here, and also weighing that, and I think staff actually got it right on this one, and I commend. I'm an active boater in the state of California with a small boat, 24 feet, so I kind of look at marinas from a small boater perspective, and having been in many marinas, especially marinas without pump outs, especially dilapidated marinas that are unsafe and attract people who are not as environmental as perhaps they should be. And the fact that so many of our marinas in the state of California need to be upgraded, I think we just need to move forward. And when an applicant comes up, especially since there's not a lot of these, but for this applicant, when they have the financing to do it now and bring it up to standards, add those pump outs and make it more safe, which are two key ingredients. And if really we're waiting a year or even 2 years, it's a lot of sewage that goes into the water late at night that we don't know about, that I would recommend we move forward on this.
Commissioner Schallenberger?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was called out of the room during the staff report, and so was not here at the beginning of the public hearing to declare my ex parte. So I'd like the record to show that I will not be voting on this.
Commissioner Cram.
I was not here at the beginning, but I had no ex partes on this. So just to be clear. I think this is a difficult a decision. I think the staff's done a great job with it. I mean, the seemingly desperate need for repairs, along with what seems to me to be a very good spread in terms of the slip sizes, is really the determining factor to me. I think we do, as Commissioner Stone suggested, have to be careful of unintended consequences, and we should go slow. But I'm not sure how much slower we can go in these things. I don't know how long this you've been trying to get this done, but 2007? I don't know. A little over 2 years. And putting this off would probably put another year or two into that. But I think we need to talk, when we talk about benches, habitats, trails, I think there has to be a present nexus to the project. And it's got to be a reasonable nexus in order to try to delay this, to kind of look at a bigger picture. So I wouldn't support putting this off.
Commissioner Mercurini?
Thank you. I actually like to ask a question of staff, please. A little bit of a hedge here, but gleaning from the comments of some of our colleagues, like Commissioner Stone and others, I agree that this was well done by staff, and I think that the benefits of this project are pronounced. But the unintended consequences portion, I'm still trying to understand that while some I heard from the public, et cetera, would maybe like to see this delayed if not denied, what does a delay potentially earn us? What material result is literally before us that could be improved upon, like either a greater distribution or more even distribution of slip size, or the modifications on parking? I'm trying to understand the net benefit of this potential tactic.
Yes, through the chair, we don't think there are any benefits to waiting. We just don't believe that this will have a significant impact one way or another on that master permit. There's over 4,000 something slips in Marina Del Rey, and we think in this particular case they have they've presented a really good mix of slips and a large number, really in our view, of small slips on the smaller side, 70%, which is consistent with what is existing Marina Del Rey today. And the commission's policy directive was to try to preserve those slips below 35 feet, and that's what we tried to adhere to here. And so I think Peter might have some extra comments.
Right. Sounds like Commissioner Douglas. Director Douglas.
Thank you. The concern that we had when this first came in were echoed by your colleagues, and what you're suggesting here. But we looked at this, and we reached the conclusion not only were the changes, the repairs necessary, but that really, as Jack said, there wasn't anything that we felt could be gained or benefited by putting off a decision on this particular project. This is a standalone project that we think isn't going to be affected by either the workshop that we're talking about or the master. I'm not even sure it's going to be a master permit. It's going to be a number of things that they're going to bring in and look at. So for all those reasons, we think this project can and should proceed at this point. If they come forward with other individual projects before we have that that kind of master approach, then we've recommended against that, we'll have to deal with that at that time. But in this case, we think that the project can proceed and ought to proceed.
And so managing the cautionary tale here of a piecemeal, the piecemeal prospects of us having then to do this case by case and being able to stave off whatever unintended consequences that I think some of our colleagues here have already admonished, I think that's what I'm trying to understand. That just presents that much more of a load onto staff and the commission to be able to have to analyze and address that. But at this stage of the game with this particular project, we're hearing that either way, I mean, it is what it is before us, and it seems to satisfy your standard.
And we don't see that there'd be any change, further down the road. I think we'd be in the same position that we're in right now with our recommendation.
And there's nothing that's precedent-setting with regard to our blessing of this particular project for those potential projects down the road, correct?
Well, I would think and I would hope that one of the precedents is the sewage collection system that they've built in. That's something that we would like to see.
Hopefully that would always be a prerequisite, but I get it.
Ms. Meltzer?
Yes.
I just wanted to point out, and I know that it was pointed out during the staff report, that the Permit Streamlining Act deadline does come up, as noted on your staff report, on December 31st, and so this is the last meeting before that deadline.
Thank you. I would like to just say a couple of comments. I do think that this, overall, it's a good project. We get a lot of benefits from it. I still have some remaining concerns about the piecemeal approach. I mean, it's all well and good to say, well, this one won't have an impact, and if we get the next one, we will look at that to see if this has an impact. But little by little, you are affecting. That's exactly what cumulative impacts are. There has been a significant loss of boat slips under 35 feet already in Marina Del Rey, which is why the commission recommended that there be no further loss of slips under 35 feet. And that brings me to the only remaining issue that I have. I mean, I would have liked to have seen some public parking out of those additional parking spaces that are being provided. I would like some of that to be for the public. I'm not sure what, I guess staff is telling me, we can't require them to be for the general public. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair. The way it works in Marina Del Rey, these marina lease parcels, the parking, while as Mr. Zabur had indicated, the parking is to serve the apartments in this case, and for the public marina. It's not open just to the general public. There's general parking lots distributed throughout Marina Del Rey to service the general public. There's security concerns with regard to, having the public in these apartment complexes or providing direct access to the fingers and things like that, the marina.
Yeah, and that was my concern, was to try to get some public parking for the general public. We're providing benches now for them, but we have no place for them to park. So that does create a problem. I understand this parking next to it, so that will come in a separate parking lot, and that will come to us for our review. but keep in mind that there was some extra additional parking spaces. The other issue that I have has to do with the way the statistics have been handled relative to, you know, are we gaining slips under, you know, 35 feet, losing them? You know, it all depends on how you average it and how you look at it. And I was a little concerned about the way this was done. And you know, in saying by averaging it overall, you get a kind of a misleading overall average. Well, there's no change. There is a change, and the change that concerns me, and for which, unfortunately, although I do agree the staff did an overall did a good job, there's no information from my perspective as to why we have a total loss of 19 slips. The four ADA requirements doesn't concern me. Okay, I mean, clearly we need to meet those. I understand there's going to be some loss of slips due to the D-bar requirements. What I don't see is an analysis as to what that means in terms of numbers. And as you know, I like to look at the actual numbers and the actual statistics. But one of the things, reason I'm asking the question is that almost all of that slip loss is in one category. Now, the statement that they are going to be spreading this out so it's more, quote, even, still troubles me because that major slip loss is in the category that the commission asked for no net loss. And so it's that aspect of it that concerns me. And if we were to continue this, I would only want to see it continued to be able to look at that specific analysis to see whether the actual loss is justified, and some loss is justified. I'm not questioning that, but whether this is justified and whether or not some of that loss could be shifted to some of the larger boats. And that, frankly, is my only concern at this point. Any other speakers want to call the question? Okay. Want to call the roll?
Yes or no.
All right. I will restate the question. The question is to vote as per staff recommendation. I believe that's essentially what it is, to approve as per staff.
Commissioner Wickett.
And the maker of the motion is recommending a yes vote.
Yes.
Wickett, yes. Commissioner Bloom.
Yes.
Bloom, yes. Commissioner Burke.
Yes.
Burke, yes. Commissioner Cram. Yes. Cram, yes. Commissioner Mercurimi.
Yes.
Mercurimi, yes. Commissioner Reese.
Yes.
Reese, yes. Commissioner Sanchez.
No.
Sanchez, no. Commissioner Stone. Stone, no. Commissioner Neely?
Yes.
Neely, yes. Commissioner Wan?
Yes.
Wan, yes. The vote is 8-2.
Commission hereby approves coastal development permit, let's see, 5-10-076, pursuant to the staff recommendation. With that, I think we're going to break for lunch. Do we have any other public speaker slips?
No, but Madam Chair, the rest of the agenda, I don't think is going to take very long. If you're inclined to push through and get it done, Jack,
how long do you think the rest of the agenda will take? Because I'm certainly not objecting to that, but
half hour, perhaps.
I'm good. Let's go.
Okay, I'm not so sure that you're correct because I just heard that there might be some issues raised on one of the other items, so therefore it's probably a good idea not to let this go to, you know, too late. So let's break for lunch. It's 1:16. Do we have a closed session? No? Okay, so what time shall we be back?
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Maybe we can make a compact lunch. I went ahead and made a reservation for anybody who would like to join us across the street. It's fairly convenient, close by at Max's Opera Plaza. We'll accommodate at least a dozen or so people or more if we need to. And the other thing I just wanted to announce with a rather distinction of pride is that, you know, the San Francisco Giants are the World Series champions. Sorry, Dodgers fans. And you'll notice downstairs our grand staircase is the World Series trophy. And it will be here just for today for a few hours. So if you want to see it, it is under guard, but it is approachable. So I recommend that you take a glimpse of something that is, once again, makes San Francisco the finest city.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I think that. Thank you. And whether you're a Dodger fan or a Padre fan, when we got into the World Series, I would like to think that we were all a California fan and therefore all rooting for the Giants.
Well done. I agree.
No, I was rooting for the Giants.
Kind of like a Boston Yankee thing.
In any event, what time do you think we should get back? 2:30?
I was saying come
up. 2:30 would be an hour and 15 minutes. Is that enough? I have a request for 2:45. Is that okay with commissioners? Yeah, okay, let's make it 2:45. We'll be back at 2:45, folks. Thank you.
And I have a, hold on. And I have a, and we have a PowerPoint on that one, if you can pull it up.
You mean 16C?
16C, what did I say? Yes, that's, yes, thank you. Are we ready to go now? All right. Yes, this is item 16C, and the applicant is Los Angeles County Department of Public Works. The project site is a 1.9-acre parcel located at the west end of Will Rogers State Beach at the intersection of Pacific Coast Highway and Coastline Drive in the Pacific Palisades, as you can see here on this slide. The site is a bluff-top lot that is level with PCH and is on a south-facing beach. The bluff, which was created by artificial fill between 1955 and 1960, ranges in height between about 21 and 38 feet above the beach. The site was formerly occupied by a restaurant called the Jetty and an associated parking lot. In 1981, a fire destroyed the restaurant, leaving behind the 52 wood pilings you can see on this slide here that supported the restaurant. Now, concrete, rubble, and debris have been previously used to protect the bluff from erosion in this location, and the parking lot has been historically used for beach, public beach parking and beach access. However, the lot has been closed recently due to the deteriorated state of the parking lot. The applicant is proposing to demolish the existing deteriorated asphalt parking lot and remove the concrete, rubble, shoreline protection and the timber piles and construct a new parking lot to accommodate 26 vehicles and construct a new 2,100 square foot viewing deck that is supported on a concrete pile foundation. And this view deck will be accessible to disabled persons, and there's also an ADA access ramp to the beach. The project also includes a new 640 foot long, 15 foot high vertical seawall to protect the public parking lot. And the seawall requires about 9,500 cubic yards of grading, and the face of it will be textured to simulate a rock-like finish. And this is a cross-section of that seawall. Now, as you can see from this slide, the beach's area is relatively narrow, and the applicant is proposing to remove all that existing concrete rubble on the face of the bluff and the concrete that has migrated onto the beach. The proposed seawall will be located inland of the toe of that existing rubble, and the removal of the concrete rubble and placement of the seawall landward of the existing rubble will slightly increase the width of the beach here. and will provide for a much safer and more attractive beach experience for the public. Now, the applicant was originally proposing a large engineered rock revetment that would have extended well out on the beach and really adversely impacted lateral access along the beach. And staff recommended that they move that, that they come up with a different alternative. And that's when they that's what generated this the proposed vertical wall. The option of moving the vertical wall further landward presents some significant engineering challenges, in our view, and would result in a much larger wall, which would, in our opinion, result in some significant visual impacts. And also, the county has asserted that a much larger wall moved a little further inland would be cost prohibitive for the county to construct, and that would probably be the end of the project. As the commission is aware, shoreline protective works can result in the narrowing of the beach due to the erosive forces of wave action off of the protective work and through the loss of sand supplied by the bluffs themselves. In addition, in the future, we have anticipated sea level rise, which will exacerbate this situation. And as you know, where protective works are required to protect existing development, the commission has required mitigation for the loss of sandy beach and the loss of public access and recreational opportunities, as is required by Coastal Act Policy 30253. And the commission has required various forms of mitigation, including in-lieu payments for sand replenishment and also public beach access projects. In this case, the county doesn't have an overall beach sand replenishment program or management program for Will Rogers State Beach or any of the other beaches they own. In addition, the placement of sand on such a narrow beach would, in the long run, not provide adequate mitigation because it would just quickly erode and be gone. However, there are opportunities for mitigation in this case. And first of all, removing the rubble, of course, will expand the beach area fronting this new wall. Such a removal will help offset the sand supply impact by freeing up sand and beach area under the existing rubble wall. And second, the proposed improvements to the parking lot and the construction of the new view deck and access ramp to the beach will offset any beach recreational impacts, in our view. Renovation and improvements of these public access facilities will represent a significant recreational benefit for this section of the coast and a mitigation measure, in our view, to offset both the temporary and the long-term loss of usable beach here. And we do believe that the recreational mitigation measures are the preferred approach to mitigation in this particular situation. And like I've said before, this is a very heavily used section of the beach where parking is at a premium, and this would be a great access feature for disabled folks as well. And so in our view, the proposed development is consistent with the Coastal Act policies, and we are recommending approval. And your motion can be found on page 2 of the staff report. And that concludes my presentation on this item.
Are there any ex parte communications to report? Seeing none, I have only 2 speaker slips, I think, on this one. And they're both here just to answer questions. So any commissioners either want to have discussion or you want to make a motion? Commissioner Bloom?
I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number 5-10-120 pursuant to the staff recommendation and recommend a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner Bloom, seconded by Commissioner Neely. Would you like to discuss any discussion?
Very briefly, I think staff has covered this quite well. This has been an issue on the coastline north of Santa Monica for and south of Malibu for quite some time, so it'll be nice to see it turned into something useful. I do think that access there will be helpful, and the disabled access is particularly good to see.
Commissioner Neely? Yeah, I'll just add my voice to Commissioner Bloom's. It'll be nice to get rid of the eyesore over there, and I think staff has and the county have done an excellent job here. Any need for a roll call? Commissioner Schellenberger?
Yeah, I'm sympathetic about getting rid of the eyesore. On the other hand, I think that given sea level rise and given the armoring of the coast that we've been doing, that I can't support a seawall here. And particularly, you all know how I feel about using our valuable coastal resources for parking automobiles. I don't think it's a good use of the land right next to the coast. I recognize that this is a way that a lot of people get access to the coast. But for me, I think if we talk about allowing, you know, not having hardening our coast and allowing natural erosion, and this is one where I'm going to vote for doing that.
Any other commissioners want to comment? Do we need a roll call? Yeah, why don't you call the roll? Maker of the motion is recommending a yes vote.
Commissioner Bloom?
Yes.
Bloom, yes. Commissioner Mercurimi? Mercurimi, yes. Commissioner Reese?
Yes.
Reese, yes. Commissioner Sanchez?
Yes.
Sanchez, yes. Commissioner Schellenberger? Schellenberger, no. Commissioner Stone? Stone, yes. Commissioner Neely? Yes. Neely, yes. Chair Wan?
Yes.
Vote is 7-1.
Okay, moving on to South Coast District, Orange County. The next item is item 18A, the City of Laguna Beach LCP Amendment 3-10. A time extension request for revisions to the implementation plan only to a section that addresses temporary use permits. The commission staff needs additional time to review this LCP amendment, and staff is recommending the commission grant a one-year time extension of the 60-day time limit.
Commissioners, can I get a motion? Motion by Commissioner Neely, seconded by Commissioner Bloom. Any objection? Unanimous roll call? Yes. Mr. Douglas? I thought I heard him say something. He's not in the room, and I still hear him. Okay. The time extension is granted. Thank you.
And the next... This is moving on to the San Diego District now. Item 21 is the list of waivers, non-material amendments, and extensions and emergency permits for the San Diego District. There are 5 waivers, and these are of the type of development routinely approved by the Commission. I have no other comments on the Deputy Director's report, and we recommend that the Commission concur.
Any objection to finding concurrence? Seeing none, the Commission has concurred.
And item 27 are the items removed from the regular calendar to the consent calendar by staff. We have one item today, item 24A, 61076, the Sandag Bikeway Improvements. There is an addendum on this item clarifying the project components and some additional exhibits. The project is for completion of 2 more segments of the South San Diego Bay Bayshore Bikeway. It will ultimately be a 24-mile Class 1 bikeway around San Diego Bay. There are also 3 letters of support in the addendum, one from the San Diego County Supervisor Cox and one from the Mayor of San Diego and the Mayor of Chula Vista. The conditions are acceptable to the applicant. We're not aware of any opposition to the project, and we recommend that the item be approved on the consent calendar.
Anyone want to move consent?
I will.
Moved by Commissioner Sanchez. You have comments?
No, I know that there is a speaker here, but I believe they're only here for questions.
This one, okay. On item 24A, there is a speaker. Do you wish to speak? Just for questions? Okay, fine.
I move approval of the consent item.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Sanchez, second by Commissioner Bloom. Any objection to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the consent calendar is.
And item 23A is the City of Carlsbad LCP Amendment Number 4-09D, Tabata Ranch. This is a request by the City of Carlsbad to amend both the land use plan and the implementation plan to change the designation and zoning on a single 2.9-acre property located on the north side of Poinsettia Lane at the western terminus of Lemon Leaf Drive in Carlsbad. The site is currently developed with a single-family residence and was in agricultural use in the past. This is a project-specific LCP amendment to accommodate an 8-lot residential subdivision on the site. The current land use designation would be changed from residential medium, allowing 4 to 8 dwelling units per acre, to residential low, allowing 0 to 4 dwelling units per acre. The current zoning is LC, or limited control, which is a holding zone in the city's LCP that is a holding zone, and it's changed only when and if the project is ready for development. The proposed zoning is R1, which is consistent with the proposed low-density land use designation. And in this case, the site doesn't contain any sensitive resources. It's not adjacent to any land set aside as habitat preserve in the city's habitat management plan, and it's surrounded by existing residential development. Because of the historic agricultural use, the city will require an ag conversion mitigation fee consistent with the requirements of the certified LCP. We didn't identify any coastal issues raised by the proposed LCP amendment, and therefore staff is recommending approval as submitted. And the resolution and motions for both the land use plan and the implementation plan approval start on page 4 of the staff report. That concludes my comments.
Thank you. Any ex parte communications to report? Seeing none, I have one speaker slip. Greg Harrington, do you wish to speak? Just here for questions? Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any discussion? Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission certify the Land Use Plan Amendment for the City of Carlsbad LCPA number 4-09D as submitted and recommend a yes vote.
I have a second. Moved by Commissioner Sanchez, seconded by Commissioner Mercurini. Any comments, any objections? Unanimous. The commission denied as submitted. Motion 2? No? I don't have it in front of me.
The
we
motion
certify it, didn't we?
Certify the land use plan, okay, recommending a yes vote.
Yeah. Okay, we certified the land use plan. Motion 2? You have a second motion, correct?
For B?
Yes.
Yes. I move that the Commission reject the implementation program amendment for the City of Carlsbad LCPA 4-09E as submitted and recommend a no vote.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Sanchez, seconded by Commissioner Mercurini. Any discussion? Any objection to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the Commission has approved the implementation. And is that both items?
That was just 23A.
That's 23A, so we need to do 23B as
right.
well, correct?
And I'll just give you some brief remarks on 23B.
I apologize.
Is the City of Carlsbad LCP Amendment 4-09E. This is a request by the city to amend only the implementation plan to change the zoning on a single 10.16-acre property from the LC holding zone to R1. The site is located on the west side of El Camino Real, and that's the coastal zone boundary in this area. The site is currently undeveloped and was previously used for agricultural activities. This is also a project-specific LCP amendment to accommodate a 26-lot residential subdivision, and that project and the proposed zoning is consistent with the current certified land use designation of low-density residential. The subject site doesn't contain any sensitive resources and is, again, it's surrounded by existing residential development. The steep slopes on the property are manufactured. And because of the historical ag use, this one will also require an ag conversion mitigation fee consistent with the requirements of the LCP. There are no other coastal issues raised, and staff is recommending approval as submitted. And the resolution and motions are on page 4 of the staff report. That concludes.
Thank you. Again, I assume, Mr. Harrington, that you're here for questions only. Okay, Commission, Vice Chairman Sanchez.
I move that the Commission reject the implementation, this is the implementation program, right? Implementation program amendment for the City of Carlsbad LCPA 4-09E as submitted and recommend a no vote.
Moved by Commissioner Sanchez, seconded by Commissioner Mercurimi. Any discussion? Any objection to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the commission has certified the implementation program amendment as submitted.
And item 23C is a City of Carlsbad LCP Amendment 1-10 A and B time extension. This is a request by staff to extend the time limit for commission action on this LCP amendment. It involves two separate components. One is a land use and zoning change for a specific property, and one is an implementation plan change for the village redevelopment area. The city is aware of staff's request for additional time, and we recommend that the commission extend the 90-day time limit for 1 year.
Can I get a motion? Commissioner Sanchez.
I move that the commission extend the 90-day time limit to act on the City of on the City of Carlsbad LCP Amendment number 1-10A and B for 1 year and recommend a yes vote.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Sanchez, seconded by Commissioner Mercurimi. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote? Unanimous vote. Seeing none, the time extension has been granted.
And item 23D is another time extension request for a City of Carlsbad LCP Amendment 2-10 A and B. This request involves a land use change for a specific property, and also the second component is a change to several miscellaneous citywide sections of the implementation plan. Again, we need additional time and recommend the commission grant the an extension of the 90-day time limit for 1 year.
Commissioner Sanchez?
I move that the commission extend the 90-day time limit to act on the City of Carlsbad LCP Amendment number 2-10 A and B for 1 year and recommend a yes vote.
Do I have a second? Moved by Commissioner Sanchez, seconded by Commissioner Mercurimi. Any objection to unanimous roll call? Vote, seeing none. Commission has granted the time extension.
And item 23C is the City of Encinitas LCP Amendment 3-10 time extension request. And this LCP amendment would be to the implementation plan only, and it includes various changes to two sections of the zoning code. Again, staff needs additional time, and we recommend that the commission extend the 60-day time limit for 1 year. The city is aware of this request.
Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that was E, right?
E.
Okay. I move that the commission extend the 60-day time limit to act on the City of Encinitas LCP Amendment number 3-10 for 1 year and recommend a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner Sanchez, seconded by Commissioner Mercurimi. Any objection to a unanimous vote? Seeing none, the time extension has been granted.
And then the last item for the San Diego agenda is item 26A. These are the revised findings for appeal number A6, PSD 0933, the San Diego Port District North Embarcadero Plan, Visionary Plan Phase 1 improvements. The project is for the Phase 1 of improvements to the North Embarcadero located in downtown San Diego between Broadway Pier and B Street Pier within the San Diego Unified Port District. The staff had recommended approval of Phase 1, acknowledging the project is not consistent with the currently certified Port Master Plan, but including conditions which address the timeline for provision of parkland to replace the Broadway Landing Park shown at the foot of Broadway in the current Port Master Plan. The commission denied the permit for Phase 1, indicating the approval was premature until a replacement park, a minimum of 2.5 acres in size, with a waterfront component is at least identified and ideally reviewed and approved as part of a Port Master Plan amendment. The other issues of concern related to the proposed removal of 146 of the most accessible public parking spaces along the waterfront. And due to the fact the permit was denied by the commission, the revised findings essentially strike all the reference to the conditions of approval and emphasize the project's inconsistency with the certified Port Master Plan. We believe the findings accurately reflect the commission's action in April of this year. We have not received any opposition to the proposed findings from either the applicant or interested parties. Therefore, staff is recommending the commission adopt the revised findings as set forth in the staff report, and the commissioners on the prevailing side are on page one of the staff report, they are Gurney, Sanchez, Stone, Juan, and Schallenberger. And that concludes my comments.
Any ex parte communications to report? Seeing none, I have, Commissioner Sanchez, yes. None? Any discussion? I'll open the public. Seeing none, do I have a motion?
I move that the commission adopt the revised findings in support of the commission's action on April 14, 2010, concerning denial of coastal development permit number A-6-PSD-09-43 and recommend a yes vote.
You can't second it. Thank you. Seconded. Moved by Commissioner Sanchez, seconded by Commissioner Stone. By a show of hands, all of those on the prevailing side, it's unanimous.
4-0.
So that brings us, you're finished, to Executive Director's report. And let me quickly organize my things here.
That brings us to the minutes.
We don't have any minutes.
Okay.
Are there any commissioners' reports?
Any commissioners have any report?
I believe the conservancy report was in the packet for you. Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy, anything to report?
Nothing to report. We didn't have a
Deputy Attorney General's report.
Okay. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Commissioners. I need to report on the case of Bay Island Club versus California Coastal Commission. And this is a case involving the Commission's approval of a replacement bridge connecting Bay Island, which is a private island, to the Balboa Peninsula in Newport Beach. The Commission imposed a condition to require public access across the bridge by moving the gate from the landward side of the bridge to the island side of the bridge. The petitioners sued to challenge the imposition of this condition. And today, the court denied the petition for writ of mandate, disagreeing with all of petitioners' claims. There will be future briefings on the takings claim, but at this point, the first phase of the case is over. Thank you. Oh, and this case was handled by Haley Peterson in our San Diego office. Thank you.
That was a very significant decision. I was really pleased to hear that today. So I'd like to find out more about it, but that was really important, as you know, those of you who were there when we dealt with it. So glad to hear that result. And as usual, the Deputy Attorney Generals represent us extremely well. Thank you. With that, Madam Chair, we go to the Executive Director's report, and basically I think I just have items, and Susan is going to handle one and put off the other one, I think.
Good afternoon. The Songs Mitigation Monitoring Program, we mailed you a very extensive written report, and I'm here to answer any questions and let you know that we will be back with the commission probably in middle of 2011 with some additional updates and potentially some action. But on a yearly basis, we always provide this detailed report to the commission so you know where the program is, and it's available to the public and posted on our website. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. If not, we'll be back 2011.
Any commissioners' comments or questions? And the budget?
The budget update, we were tabling that till Thursday or Friday so that I could meet with our budget subcommittee, commission budget subcommittee. So thank you.
All right, thank you, because that's a particularly important issue. I think that brings us to the end.
It does. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
See everybody here tomorrow. Okay. We're adjourned.